Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
T1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Former Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore is expected to be arraigned in court today. Moore remains in custody as a suspect for an alleged assault after he was fired on Wednesday for having an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. In New York City, Ohio State quarterback Julian Sand seeks to become the program's 8th Heisman Trophy winner Saturday night. Sand on what this year's been like this morning on Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, I think I've been surrounded by just great people. You know, being at a school like Ohio State that just has great people around you and has a great team around you, has great coaches. It's been a blessing.
Saturday's ceremony starts at 7. NBA Tonight, Cavs visit the Wizards at 7. This update sponsored by Green & Sons, family-owned and operated for over 45 years. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville in Raymond. Coming up on Rothman & Ice, ESPN's Field Yates joins at 12:30 right here with a fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division? In the office, baby. Going out.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice, and in the house today, filling in for my guys, is Jacob Reimer. Rhyme time on the board for TLC. And to my right, DT, a.k.a. Dylan Tyre, back in the building. DT, good to see you again. Happy holidays. How you been, big dog?
I've been really good. It's great to see you again, Matty. It's been a while since you and I chatted, so I'm fired up to chat. I mean, we've got so much good NFL stuff to talk about. Obviously, the goings-on in the state up north. Great to be with Reimer as well. I haven't seen you in some time, so yeah, I'm fired up, man. Yeah. I'm very happy to be back in the studio and get this thing cooking.
Absolutely. I feel you on that, man. Appreciate everybody listening. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat right now. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Happy Friday going in to the weekend. DT, sounds like maybe some dicey weather coming our way tomorrow. Sounds like some snow is coming in Saturday night, so safe travels. Anybody on the move and all of that stuff. How was your holiday shopping going? How's all that stuff going for you?
Done and done. I've gotten a gift for everybody on both sides of the family. The wife's family is covered. My family is covered. I'm a very type A person when it comes to that stuff. So I tried to get this done as soon as the calendar turned to December. I'm thinking Christmas gifts. Got it done.
Respect the heck out of that. Rhyme time, how you feeling today, big dog? Good?
I'm doing fantastic. The Cy-Hawk bet yesterday came through.
There you go.
It was
there
a classic
go.
Game, too. Hey, it was awesome.
Good stuff. Good call out of you. Can't move forward without sending some personal love and a shout-out to my mom. Mama Hayes, it's her birthday today, love you, Mama. Gave her a call this morning. I know she's on the move going to Baltimore to hang out with her sister and all that stuff, but Mama Hayes, love you from the bottom of my heart. So let's all send some love to Mama Hayes. Clap it up for Mama Hayes. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday to my mom. So here's what we got going on today. Bottom of the hour. Field Yates from ESPN does a great job covering the NFL, NFL draft, and some fantasy stuff. We'll pick his brain about his latest mock draft that he had released the other day. Some Buckeyes very high up in that one. Brendan Deeg, we'll talk all things NFL with him at 1:30. And then at 2:30, Adam Jardy, who does a tremendous job covering Ohio State basketball for the Dispatch, will join us to talk about the Buckeyes, where they are, and what's ahead for them this weekend. If you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. And the wonderful folks at Bet365 are the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. DT, we had a day in here yesterday. There was a little something going on up there in Ann Arbor. And it's just a wild story that has just revealed itself coming out of their neck of the woods that involves Sharon Moore. Before I hit you with some of the latest details, just paying attention to some of the things that were happening yesterday and just how serious some of the details were and just the football part of it we can get to. But what were your just overall thoughts on the Sharon Moore situation and currently where this Michigan football program stands?
Well, it's almost unbelievable, right? And how quick it happened, you're thinking this guy's life has fallen apart in a matter of 5-6 hours here. And, you know, the first few things that you hear, an affair, an inappropriate relationship, purely football, that's something you can overcome, right? Like, he could probably get another job down the road, work his way back up. But then some of this other stuff comes out where he's being arrested. There are charges. He's being arraigned today, right? It's like, oh, you threw your life away.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And now, you know, I know there are some questions out there. Did Michigan know about this? I know there were several investigations into Sharon Moore leading up to this. The first couple, they apparently found nothing. So just a lot of question marks, man. I'm very curious to see how this all unfolds. And the more stuff that we do learn, it's going to make a heck of a documentary someday. But football wise, Michigan might come out of it with a better coach.
We'll get to that in just a second, because I want to play a clip for you guys from Josh Pate, who does an awesome job covering college football. And he threw out a name that I didn't hear yesterday. It was a lot of Kalen DeBoer floating around yesterday and people kind of tying Kalen DeBoer back to Michigan. I want to get your take on that as well. But some of the new nuggets that I saw last night into the morning that we didn't have yesterday was, according to sources, some people within the program and prominent donors told Ward Manuel, the AD, about Sharon Moore having some serious mental health issues. And they also say that the source said the latest investigation was the third one involving Moore over alleged conduct with women. And so this wasn't the first time. It seems like he's been going down this road before. And it sounds like somebody just got to a point to where they just had to release all this information to the university, law enforcement, whoever it may be, and how all of that worked. But to your point, just an unbelievable situation and just a horrible, horrible look for a guy that got granted a great opportunity at one of the most prominent programs, not only in the conference, but in the country, and completely flushed that down the toilet. And so how they recover is going to be fascinating to see. And I think they got to move quickly. So I want to play this for you from Josh Pate. He was on Get Up this morning, and here was a name that he threw out that's not Kalen DeBoer and a guy that maybe we should keep an eye on.
I feel kind of strongly about this, that job looks tailor-made for a guy like Kenny Dillingham. I know other names will be thrown out. I'm telling you, Kenny Dillingham, for most college football fans, is a guy who they've heard sound bites from. He's the guy that took Arizona State to the playoffs last year. Oh, he's that guy Cam Scataboo played for. Kenny Dillingham has the right mix to me of like freshness, but also really, really intense. I've watched Kenny Dillingham operate in Dan Lanning's building up at Oregon and fit in very seamlessly. But also, look what he's done with the quarterback position and what Michigan has not been able to do with the quarterback position. Look at the toughness his teams play with. I know right now they're looking around and there are other names. I don't think Kenny Dillingham's name should be too far down that list. And he's done a whole lot more with a whole lot less. Like Matt Campbell to Penn State, I just imagine Michigan resources being handed to Kenny Dillingham. So he's actually the name I'd circle.
If he's the guy, I think if you're a Michigan fan, you would have to feel pretty good about that. And I think one thing that stuck out to me and what he mentioned was Dillingham's ability to speak to the quarterback position, because a big piece of all of this is them potentially retaining Bryce Underwood, who they think is obviously the quarterback of their future, invested in him financially at a high level as well. And you look at what Kenny Dillingham was able to do over there with Arizona State and their combination of quarterback and wide receiver Jordan Tyson and that crew over there. That, I think, would be something that Michigan fans would be in on. What did you think of what Pate said and possibly Kenny Dillingham being the guy?
I find that extremely intriguing. And if I were a Michigan fan, I think I would be thrilled with that, given, you know, where the coaching cycle is right now. It feels like everybody's been hired. That's got to be your first thought as a Michigan fan, right on top of, oh, my God, I can't believe this is all happening. It's like, who are we going to get now? Yeah. All these teams just hired coaches. Like Penn State was getting clowned for not making a hire, and it turned out they made a pretty good one in Matt Campbell at the end, or at least what felt like the end of the cycle. you know, Kenny Dillingham going to Michigan as an Ohio State fan, I think you're pretty comfortable where you are, but you're thinking, okay, that's a guy that's done something. That's a pretty good coach, and he's mm-hmm. going to put them in a good situation. No matter who it is for Michigan, I think you have to get a builder, right? And maybe we're moving on from the Sharon Moore conversation a little bit too soon and already forecasting who's going to coach at Michigan. But if we're going to do that, I think you have to get a builder, right? Because it's like, where are you going to go from here? Sharon Moore, like you kind of talked about, happened into that job. I don't necessarily want to say lucked into that job, but kind of did.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here? You got
to
build.
You have to build, and you look at a guy, to your point, that built something at a program that doesn't, to me, have the same resources that Michigan would have.
Not even close.
And so when you have Sam Levitt, who is in the transfer portal, correct?
Sam Levitt's in the transfer portal.
Announced himself into the portal. So let's say there's a world where Bryce Underwood leaves to go to LSU. You make this hire, that guy's probably going to follow him, and that's a way maybe you could hit the ground running. But they got, to your point, so many things to work through, so many legal things to work through. What do the finances look like with Sharon Moore and all that stuff, and how much they may have to pay him, or maybe they don't have to pay him anything. It's all messy up there in Ann Arbor. And so I just wanted to bring that to the table because it was an interesting name. Look, if you get Kalen DeBoer, I think you got to feel good about that too. I just don't think he's leaving Alabama. I think where they are now in year two, I think everybody involved should feel pretty good about what he's doing down there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I'm with you there, where the name Kalen DeBoer has come up. Like, Marcus Freeman came up at the start of all this, too. I'm like, why would Marcus Freeman leave Notre Dame to go to Michigan? The Kalen DeBoer thing, too, maybe if this were earlier in the year when things were really going bad at Alabama and people were like, okay, Kalen DeBoer's on the hot seat, but I think he's calmed things down enough there. They ended up making the college football playoff. If they somehow get clowned in the playoff, maybe, but I think he's probably in a position where he's coming back for at least another year. So I don't know. I just don't see that as realistic, leaving a place like Alabama, unless they've had enough there. But I think getting into the playoff probably saves
him. I agree. I'm with you on that. Coming up next, Julian Sain, your quarterback one. He joined the gang on Bishop and Friends this morning, and he talked about the impact that Will Howard had on him. We'll get into that, and also the Heisman ceremony that's tomorrow as well. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
We, the Fan, have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Your family might not listen to you, but we will. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
In the Central Ohio, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Michael Behrens. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon, a little sun poking through. Mostly cloudy tonight, upper 20s, low 30s tomorrow. Snow starts around the midday and continues through the evening hours. Heavy snow expected will impact travel, multiple inches of plowable snow. 10TV Weather Impact Alert Day will be in place. That's your latest weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Happy Friday to you all. I'm Matty Ice, Dylan Tyre in the house today for AR Rhyme Time. Been on the board all week for TLC, doing a great job. You know, DT, here we are, man. It's unbelievable to think that the Heisman ceremony is tomorrow. It just, we always say it, but it's just crazy how fast the seasons do go by, especially football. I just think we enjoy it so much. And then there's just so much, I think, for us to consume week in and week out, that this ride always goes by so fast for me.
It's crazy how it works, because I went to the OSU-Texas game, and that feels like it was like 2 years ago to me. But when you think of the season in general, it has completely flown by, and the same can be said for the NFL season. Yeah. Like, you and I were kind of talking about the Bears and Caleb Williams before we hopped on here. And I think the last time I was on with you, it was really early in the NFL season. It might have been even before the NFL season. And that doesn't feel that long ago. And here we are. Everybody's pushing for the playoffs now. So you're right, man. Time flies. It flies because we're having fun.
No doubt. You ain't lying about that. Let me ask you this, DT. Did you think that you would get this type of Julian saying in year one? Was it anywhere in your mind that prior to us kicking off against Texas, that this guy would be a Heisman finalist in year one?
Yeah, I did actually, and I'm going to toot my own horn on this because I was a person before the season where, of course, Ohio State had this quarterback competition, which almost seems nonsensical and unbelievable that that even happened now, but everybody was like, okay, Julian Sain's the question mark for this Ohio State team, and I get that, but it felt like there's a negative connotation that comes with that, right? I was kind of in the other boat and other side of things where it's like, what if this guy's really good? Like, why wouldn't he be? He's a former five-star recruit, one of the best quarterback recruits in the country. What if he just steps in and he's good? And I'd seen enough in the Texas game. Like, that was my thinking going into the Texas game. I watched a drive or two of the Texas game and I said, wow, this is the guy. Yeah. Like, he put a couple of balls on receivers. I think he made a really nice throw to Max Clair, if I remember correctly, on the sideline. Clair might have dropped it, but he was good under pressure in that game. That was a huge game at that point. Like, I know Texas fell off, etc., but at that point that was a huge game, and I watched that and I said, this is the guy. He is going to be good. He might win the Heisman this season. I'm texting my buddies, like, maybe put in a Heisman future.
You were on it then, because even to your point even about that Texas game, it even felt like coming out of the game, the offense, maybe there was some training wheels just still on the offensive system, and that's totally understandable, right? For a guy in year one, that type of environment, that type of team that you were playing, but you could just feel and see throughout the year the confidence that the coaches had in him, but more importantly, his confidence was starting to grow. And like the flashes that you were talking about as far as his accuracy all year, the touch that he had, all those things started to come together. So it was really the perfect combination of a good year for the most part up front with the offensive line. And when you had that to start, and then you could go to the playmakers that we knew he had. Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, we knew those guys were going to get busy. And so he had the ability to do his thing with time in the pocket, get the ball to his playmakers. But then he even showed us throughout the year, hey, if the offensive line isn't necessarily clean on every single snap, I can get out of the pocket, make throws on the run, or I can step up and deal with that pressure too. So he really started to put it all together. And then you get the game up in Ann Arbor, right? Interception early on.
Yep.
Buckeye fans are kind of freaking out and just saying, here we go again. He said, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I got it. And he went on to deliver along with his guys as well. So the guys this morning on Bishop and Friends, Uncle Bo, Ryan Baker, the great Tim May, they had on Julian Sain this morning. And here he is on what it means to be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, it's really special. Growing up, you know, I've always wanted to, be a part of this and, you know, to be in New York for it. It's amazing. I think you just got to take it one day at a time. You know, we had the loss the past weekend and, you know, we're coming and watch the film and, you know, we play another game in, you know, 20 days from now. So I think it's, you just take it one day at a time, but it's a great honor to be here and I'm really excited.
You can hear in there that he's enjoying, obviously, this moment, but his mind as a quarterback is probably just always working on what's next.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Michigan game, one thing that I really liked was I think it was maybe Tom Rinaldi or somebody from Fox was interviewing him on the field. And he could have easily just kind of basked in the glory of that moment and all those things. And one of the first things he said, DT, was, yeah, we left some things out there on the field. Like when you hear that from a young guy or a player in general, I love that, and especially from the leader to where he's like, yes, we did some good things. However, we can still be better. And coming out of this Indiana game, that's not only going to be motivation for him, but just for everybody involved. And it has a similar vibe to last year. Doesn't hold as much weight and kind of negativity, if you will, losing to Michigan the way that they did. But the fact that this team had to taste their own blood over there in Indy and got kind of pushed around a little bit down there at the line of scrimmage, I think it's going to be good for them, but also for Julian to now lock back in and get back to a lot of the good things he's been doing.
I think you almost have to remind yourself that he's a redshirt freshman, right? Yeah. When you hear him talk the way that he talks, the way that he is so poised and calm on the field. And I think there are a couple of indicators for a young quarterback, right? He has that poise and accuracy. Some of the other guys have the ability outside of the pocket to create. I think if you see that early, you get excited, right? And that's what excited me about Julian Sain was that he had that poise and that accuracy in a big game early. And we've only seen that get better as this season's gone on. Something that I was thinking about over the course of the past week or so, you know, I know maybe there were some things in that Indiana game where, okay, he did look like a younger quarterback, but how big of a joy would it be to be able to watch Julian Sayin as like a redshirt senior quarterback at Ohio State. That would be like watching a high-level NFL quarterback yeah. play in college. He's going to leave early, yeah, I assume, yeah, yeah. to go to the NFL draft, but that got me thinking. I'm like, the way that this guy plays with so much poise right now, yeah. imagine him 3 or 4 years into college and what that would look like. It's almost unbelievable.
It'd be bananas, man. It'd be absolutely incredible. And just to your point, even what he's going to bring to the table next year, right? With just the game and just how that's going to slow down for him and just him really knowing all the ins and outs of this offense and just the trust and probably everything they're going to have on his plate. We had a Justin Zwick in on a pregame show a couple weeks ago going into the Indiana game. And he was telling me off air, like, as he progressed in, I think, his junior and senior year of high school, he was calling the plays. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just running the show. And so you just get to that point, right, as a vet crazy. To where you know what everybody needs to do. You know the timing of just everything that's going on. And you're starting to see some of that right now. But just next year, what this could look like, man, if the guy's healthy, you're probably going to see a repeat performance of what he did and maybe even better. Here is Julian Sayin. And again, he joined Bishop and Friends this morning on the impact that Will Howard had on him.
I think I learned a lot from him just about the way he prepared and the way he was a leader for that team, for that offense. And there were so many great points that, you know, I took from him just, you know, sitting in the meeting room just so many great points from him. So I think I learned a lot last season.
It's just something you got to do, man. It's something you got to do. I remember when I first started working here. And I just sat back and I watched how AR did his business. I watched how Common Man did his business. I watched how Paul Keels did his business and guys that have been successful at doing this for a long time. I would have been foolish not to sit back and just take notes, mental notes, and just even ask questions to see how those guys did. And to me, I think it's helped me kind of get to where I am right now, taking a little bit of both from all those guys and other guys in the industry too. And I think that's kind of what you're hearing there from Julian Sayin is last year, maybe in your mind, as talented as you are, you're probably thinking, I could probably go out there and do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys have that confidence in themselves, but to be able to get the work and the reps, but also see a guy, a vet, come in from Kansas State, lead a team, and when they had to deal with a whole bunch of adversity, right, and having to get off the mat and coming out of the Michigan game and making the push all the way to the Natty, I think that stuff can benefit him now because he's not the most rah-rah guy. Maybe he is behind the scenes. He just doesn't show it to us. But I think he can go about his leadership skills his own way, but also maybe take some things from Will.
Well, all that stuff is so invaluable, right? And we talk about it in the NFL all the time. There's so much pressure for a rookie quarterback to play right away. And I think it's kind of similar with a five-star quarterback, kind of. I think there's less pressure in college just because there's a little bit more of a pecking order. Mm-hmm. But at a place like Ohio State, it's more like the NFL, right? Where you might have an established guy and you're going to be playing meaningful games throughout the season. That's during the regular season and the playoff. And that teaches you something, right? I equate it to like Patrick Mahomes when he came into the league, right? They had Alex Smith in Kansas City. If you recall, they were still a good football team mm-hmm. at that point. Alex Smith was still a good quarterback at that point. And Pat Mahomes comes in, he sits for a season, and he does all of those things that we're kind of talking about with Julian Sayin, where yep. he had the opportunity to experience that. He stepped in and he was ready to go. And obviously, Julian's talked about it a lot this year with Will Howard and what he meant to his development last year. I think it's pretty darn similar.
I completely agree. And I love the example of Mahomes and Alex Smith. And maybe another one we could use is maybe Rodgers and Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love, he comes in and I know things were a little prickly with the whole Aaron Rodgers in that situation, but you get to see how a vet gets down
yeah.
and how he does his thing. And I know Jordan Love's been doing some pretty good things up there in Green Bay. And so good luck to Julian tomorrow in the Heisman race. Doesn't look like he's going to win it, but to me, that doesn't even really matter. The fact that he's even there as a Final Four finalist for the Heisman in year one is absolutely what it's all about. And just so much upside and good stuff on the way from that dude. Coming up here in 2 minutes, Field Yates, he's going to join the program to talk about his latest NFL mock draft that had some Buckeyes very high on that, and also just some of the top prospects that we'll be watching in the playoff and beyond going into draft season. It's Rothman and Ice right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time, Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
Don't knock it till you try it. Don't knock it till you try it. Welcome back in. We're Rothman and Ice. Dylan Tyer in the house today for our guy AR. Going to bring in one of the best right now. Does an awesome job at ESPN covering the NFL draft, fantasy football, and a lot more. The one and only Field Yates. Field Yates, happy holidays. Happy Friday. How you feeling, my man?
Happy holidays to you as well. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Appreciate your time. I know you got a lot going on, so we really appreciate that. We want to get into your mock draft, Field, because, you know, that stuff's kind of around the corner and it gets a lot of people excited. So I want to go to your latest mock draft, and I want to go to, and look, obviously the order is not going to be exactly where we are right now, but it's fun to look at some of the framework and what that could look like a few months from now. But what jumped out to a lot of people, Field, that I know maybe got some Browns fans excited was that fourth pick, and you had Carnell Tate there. So just talk about that pairing, what you think of Carnell Tate and what you think he can be as a pro.
Yeah, so Carnell, you know, it's an annual tradition, of course. We have to find room for an Ohio State wide receiver in the first round. That streak will certainly continue if Carnell declares, and then we'll continue once again next year if Jeremiah Smith declares after three seasons in Columbus, which I think we all expect to happen, but Carnell, you know, on the one hand, he does stack up well to most first-round wide receivers. On the other hand, if you're just comparing him to Ohio State receivers, he might be, in terms of pedigree coming into the draft, I don't know, third or fourth because of how great some of the receivers have been over the past half decade or so at Ohio State. But obviously he's had a tremendous season this year, stepping into a slightly larger role with Emeka Abuka now playing for the Buccaneers. He's got good size. He's a vertical threat with a 17.5 yards per catch average. I think his route running is pristine. Contested catch situations, he has money in the bank. Obviously a great young man as well. Comes from basically what has become college football's number one wide receiver factory. That does matter to teams. I think they feel a little bit more certainty with these Ohio State wide receivers because they know how well coached they are, how much attention to detail they bring to the table. And as for the Browns, you know, right now it's obvious that the team is getting an extended look at Shedeur Sanders. And if he plays, you know, or continues to show the growth that we saw last week against that Titans defense, in this week against the Bears, and then subsequent games as well for Cleveland, it at least opens up a conversation about whether the team should use a premium pick on a quarterback. And if they don't, then I do think that wide receiver and offensive tackle are amongst the primary needs for this team. When you're doing a mock draft 5 months out, we're definitely getting closer and closer to being able to put together pairs. It's also worth noting that part of the exercise in a mock draft this early is also making sure that the players are going around where you think they deserve to go, independent of how the order shakes out. So Carnell is the top 7 or 8 player at worst in the draft for me. As a result of that, whether it was the Browns at 4 or a little bit further down the totem pole, I was sort of happy and satisfied that I was able to find a fit for him in those first 7-8 picks.
Field, I want to ask you a little bit more about the wide receivers you have mocked. 4 first-round wide receivers last year, 2 in the top 10, including Travis Hunter. You've got 5 first-round wide receivers mocked in this year's coming draft. Lots of excitement. I mean, Mekhi Lemon, Carnell Tate, who you talked about, Jordan Tyson. How do you think the wide receivers in this coming draft stack up compared to what we saw last year?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and I think that it's probably favorably. I think there are 4 first-round locks absent injury amongst the wide receivers in this year's class. You mentioned Mekhi Lemon, Carnell Tate, Denzel Boston also in that mix, and then Jordan Tyson as well from Arizona State. His older brother Jalen plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, not too far away from Columbus, of course. A very athletic family. Chris Bell also snuck in at pick number 32 in my mock draft. It's never a good sign when you put a mock draft out and then a couple hours later, Adam Schefter tweets that a player in that mock draft tore his ACL. You feel awful for the young man and Chris Bell, who, you know, still be drafted and I still think has a very bright football future, but I think he had at least a chance to go in the first 30 to 40 picks, and that's not going to be the case after tearing his ACL in Louisville's game against Kentucky. I think it's a better wide receiver class compared to where we were last year. I think there are a couple of guys in this class that profile as number 1 wide receivers. Last year, obviously, we had Travis Hunter. You mentioned Tetero McMillan. Emeka Abuka goes in the first round, and then Matthew Golden goes in the first round. Of those guys, I think Travis Hunter and Tetero McMillan were viewed as players that could probably emerge and stay as wide receiver ones for their offense going forward. Emeka Abuka, Matthew Golden, maybe their perfect role in the NFL was to be the 1A as opposed to the sole one. I think in this year's class, we might have a couple of guys that could jump into that pure wide receiver one conversation. And I think some of how those guys come off the board is not going to be as simple as they're universally regarded as one, two, three, four in this order, but much more, what are you looking for? Mekhi Lemon, this awesome sort of plays out of the slots, catches everything, but just dominates against players that, you know, size-wise, you'd expect him to not be able to hold up against. He's very good after the catch with the football. Denzel Boston is huge, big body wide receivers, excellent in the red zone with some slot ability as well. Yes, they both play wide receiver, but they both play the game and play the position more specifically in a very different way. So that'll probably influence the order of how those guys come off the board come April.
Talking all things NFL draft with Field Yates from ESPN. Field, let's lock in on the quarterback position and maybe a couple of your top guys at the top of your board right now. Obviously, here in Big Ten country, we watched a lot of Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. When you look at the two of those guys right now, which of the two for you has the higher NFL ceiling?
Probably Dante Moore is the higher ceiling, and that's to take nothing away from Fernando Mendoza, who I know has earned the respect of Big Ten country and Ohio State, you know, loyalists after last Saturday night. It wasn't some dominant performance, but as you guys have seen all year, I mean, a quarterback just not sort of, you know, falling flat on his face is a good performance against this incredible Ohio State defense. The reasons why is in some ways, you know, smaller sample size of games works against a player as a prospect, right? There's less certainty, but it also presents the idea that like maybe there's more to unlock than what we have seen. I think Fernando Mendoza is going to be a guy who best operates from the pocket, off play action, has this absolute rocket launcher arm, very talented passer. Dante is not this superlative athlete, but he's definitely a good enough athlete to do some things as a second reaction player. He's creative, a lot of different arm angles from Dante Moore, very good deep ball accuracy for Dante Moore out of Oregon. So maybe the slight edge and ceiling to Dante Moore, but I think these guys are pretty close. It's nip tuck for me. I think, as I was saying with the receivers, it might come down to whoever has the number one pick. If both of these guys come out, you know, what kind of quarterback archetype you're more interested in.
Field, you've got Arvel Reese going third overall to the Tennessee Titans. I think if you were to go back to the beginning of this year, almost unbelievable, right? Even here at Ohio State, we didn't know that much about Arvel Reese. At that point, maybe it was Reuben Bain, the guy that was going to be the first edge rusher off the board. Now you've got Arvel Reese. You've also got David Bailey from Texas Tech in there. How do these edges compare?
Yeah, so Arvel had just a remarkable season, 6.5 sacks after just what one half of a sack prior to this season, I should say. There's positional versatility there, a guy who played linebacker and now played much more off the edge this year. I'd love to see him as a full-time edge at the NFL level. I've used sort of the Jalen Walker model, but did that for Georgia, became kind of more of an edge than a stand-up inside linebacker. The big difference between Arvel and Jalen Walker is that Arvel's got sort of prototypical length as well. He's, you know, we'll get the exact measurements once we get a lot closer to the draft, but if you told me he's 6'3 and change, wouldn't surprise me. And so I think Arvel has kind of established himself as the best non-quarterback in this class, maybe the best quarterback, best player in this class. David Bailey had a remarkable year, has had a remarkable season for Texas Tech. Probably has the best first step quickness, the most productive rusher, which, you know, we're not drafting production, but it does speak to how consistently dominant he was this year. Texas Tech was a really good ecosystem to play in. They've got, you know, two edge rushers that are going to get drafted, him and Romello Height, who his fourth team in four seasons was Texas Tech, had a good year as well. Got a solid nose tackle that, you know, you're kind of having to allocate lesser resources to just one guy because you've got so many players to block. And that certainly applies to Ohio State as well. But David Bailey had a sensational season. Reuben Bain had a really good season as well. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. probably going to be an All-American this year. The big question with Bain, and this is one that we're still sorting through, it's 5 months out, is you talk to some people in the league and they'll say, hey, in this draft class, like, find me 10 better players. You're going to have a hard time doing that. There are others that are going to point to his build. You know, he's got sub 31-inch arms, not typically where you see edge rushers in the NFL. He's more like the 6'3", 260-poundish type frame, kind of like Quiddy Pay was a handful of years ago, coming out of Michigan, got drafted in the late first to the Indianapolis Colts. So some people think that maybe the archetype is a little bit different there for Reuben Bain. That might move him down the board a touch, but he had a great season this year. And if he slides, you know, somewhere into the middle of the first round or even later, is going to be a great value as well.
Phil, we'll get you out of here on this one in our last minute. I want to ask you about Arch Manning. Started off in the offseason as potentially the guy for a lot of people, and it was just kind of a lot of peaks and valleys and a roller coaster ride down there in Austin. What did you think of his year, and what are some of the things you think he needs to fine-tune maybe before he makes the leap?
Yeah, peaks and valleys, up and down. Those are sort of the words that come to mind for me for Arch. Looked like a guy who was inexperienced. And I get it. You know, I think I probably fell or slipped on the banana peel myself coming into the season, which is that when you're doing your mock drafts going into the year, doing your ranking going into the year, you're kind of taking the bet on which guys have the most upside if they put it all together. What we probably should more strongly acknowledge when we're having those conversations in August is that very few of these guys are going to actually put it all together, right? That's what sports is all about, right? That's why recruiting class rankings don't always pan out for teams, right? Ohio State is not a perfect example to make that point, but there are plenty of schools around college football that have done well in recruiting, and then they kind of fall flat when the games are played on Saturday. But there was some promise there from Arch. He definitely had some impressive moments. Texas won some big games, including their final game of the regular season against Texas A&M. But this year will end up being much more about a year of growth than it was a year of proving that Arch Manning is definitely the guy in this draft. You know, I think we all agree he's going to end up in the 2027 draft as opposed to the 2026 draft. And it may be that four seasons in Austin is exactly what Arch needs to kind of get to or realize the potential that he I think brings to the table. But you know, next year's draft class obviously is very compelling between him and Julian Sain and some of the other quarterbacks around college football that had really strong seasons this year. Will be fascinating. But for now, I'm having a hard enough time just getting through the 2026 class and getting this one sized up myself.
Totally get it. He's Fields Yates, does an awesome job at ESPN covering the NFL draft, fantasy football, and a lot more. Field, as always, thank you so much for your time. Happy holidays again, and have a great weekend, my man. Thank you.
Happy holidays, guys, and enjoy the games next weekend. Looking forward to those already.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate it. Field joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We will round out the first hour of the show with overs and unders next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Millions of
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Bishop and Friends.
Yolanda one time wanted to wax my knuckles.
Thought that was going to go south.
No, my knuckles.
The way that you said it, I thought it was going to go in a different way.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
phone group.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Former Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore is said to be arraigned in court today at 1 for assault charges 2 days after his arrest. He was fired on Wednesday for having an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. In New York City, Ohio State quarterback Julian Sain seeks to become the program's 8th Heisman Trophy winner Saturday night. He's joined by Indiana's Fernando Mendoza, Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love, and Vanderbilt's Diego Pavia as finalists. North Carolina offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens and special teams coordinator Mike Prefer will not return next season. Both spent 3 seasons in the NFL with the Browns. NBA Cavs visit the Wizards tonight at 7. In the NFL, Jets will turn to rookie quarterback Brady Cook Sunday versus the Jaguars. With both Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor out due to injury, it will be Cook's first career start. This update sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck at Roosters locations or at roosterswings.com.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Happy Friday to you. Dylan Tyer in the house today for AR. I'm Matty Ice. Rhyme Time is on the board for our guy TLC. Bit of a new nugget when it comes to the whole Sherrone Moore situation. This coming from Pete Thamel. The charges for Sherrone Moore. Per the criminal complaint, there is a felony charge of home invasion in the third degree. Also charges of stalking and breaking and entering. And so that obviously ain't great. And this guy is really up against it. But this whole situation, the more details that come out, there's just really, really spooky stuff that seems like that happened with he and the woman that was involved. And now we've got some of the official stuff here on the legal side of things. DT, there is a felony charge of home invasion in third degree and also charges of stalking and breaking and entering.
Not good for Sherrone Moore there.
Yeah, not good at all. So we'll keep you guys up to date on all of that. But that is the latest coming out of Ann Arbor. Rhyme Time's got some sound from us on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a rough year, just again because of injuries and all of that. And I'm always curious, DT, of the mental part of it, right? And how that can weigh on guys, because you're around professional athletes. I'm sure you've heard professional athletes talk a lot about the grind of coming back, right? And when you have to do that maybe once or twice in your career, that's like, okay, I can manage that. Excuse me, but maybe when you run into a situation where it's time and time again and having to do it, I don't care how good you are, it can weigh on you. And Joe Burrow spoke to the media, and to me, that's kind of the vibe I got from him, is that all of this is finally weighing on him.
No, it certainly doesn't change my desire to win. You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for?
So very interesting. Very interesting comment right there. And I know, look, no matter what fan base you're talking about, you hear that from your franchise player, at least for me, I'd be freaking out just a little bit, because if the guy's not enjoying coming into the stadium every day and enjoying the grind, then I think human nature just kicks in. And, you know, us as humans start to think about, well, what else could I do, or where else could I be to maybe change how I feel about what I've loved doing my entire life? So when you heard that, what were your thoughts?
It's a fascinating thing for me, particularly in this case with Joe Burrow, because there were so many questions around why he did come back when he did, right? Joe Burrow came back from the turf toe in essentially a meaningless season for the Bengals. Like, I know they had a little bit of
small
hope there.
Small percentage chance, yeah. Yep.
And he comes back early. They win the game against Baltimore. Then they go play that banger against the Bills, but they end up losing. And now those quotes come out. It's a little bit curious for me, because it's like, he was the guy that wanted to come back, mm-hmm. right? Like that. I don't think they would have had any issues if he sat out the rest of the season. Yeah. So if you're saying that you're not having fun or you're not enjoying it, then why did you come back? Like, where is the competitive nature for you? I'm fascinated by that with Joe Burrow. I'm just not quite sure about, like, where he's coming from with all this, because he's such a nonchalant guy, it seems like, but he's intense, and he turns into a different guy when he's on the field. But so like where is he in that mindset? Where is that coming from? Is he the nonchalant guy saying I'm not having fun, or is he the competitor? I don't know.
To your point, things did change in a matter of weeks, right? Because when we all found out that he was coming back and some folks were questioning, why are you doing this because of where the team was, he came out publicly and said, look, we're getting paid a lot of money to do this, and this is something that I love. And so there has been clearly a shift in his mind. And so I would love to ask him more about that. But Rhyme Time, you said you got one more clip from Joey B. What do you got here?
Yeah, this is when he stopped having fun.
I'm not sure there was a singular moment or time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career. I think I've been through more than most, and it's certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
He mentioned that he's been through more than most, and I just wanted to bring this to the table, because when you zoom out from this year and you mention the turf toe that he had early on in the season, and you just look back to even the year here at Ohio State, right? It was that broken bone in the throwing hand, right? And he had to have some surgery there. Then in 2020, had the torn rib cartilage in the national championship game, but stayed in the game. And then you go into the NFL, and in 2020, it was the torn ACL, MCL, and PCL. You turn the page to 2021, and it's a dislocated pinky finger in his throwing hand. The following year, sprained his MCL in the Super Bowl. In 2023, you had the strained calf in training camp, and then he later suffered that torn ligament in his wrist in that season. So this guy's been through it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been through it. And so I think the weight of that, and the inconsistencies of the franchise and where they've been as a team, especially when you taste, you know, what a Super Bowl is like and a Super Bowl run is like, I wouldn't put it past anybody right now to be feeling this way and really saying in yourself, man, I kind of lost my joy. Because that's what it sounds like to me, is this is a guy that's lost his joy for the game at this point.
It's frustrating for me. And, you know, I would be frustrated if I were a Bengals fan right now, because, okay, Joe Burrow, he gets paid a lot of money to be the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
He has influenced decisions in Cincinnati, right? Ja'Marr Chase signing, T. Higgins signing. They, you know, apparently don't have money to sign other guys because they have money locked up in these guys. That's part of this, right? It's part of their losing is part of him not having fun, which that's kind of loser talk to me, because you're part of the problem then. But the injuries, yeah, it's tough, but everybody goes through those injuries, right? And he said, you know, maybe I've gone through it more than others. Okay, sure, relatively, but other guys, there's guys out there that are more hurt than you, that have gotten hurt more frequently than you. I don't know where I met with this, because if I were a Bengals fan, I would just be so frustrated, because it's like, okay, like, figure it out. If you don't want to be here, then retire, get traded, whatever, force your, I don't know.
Because to your point, he did go to bat for, hey, I want T. Higgins to get paid. I want Ja'Marr Chase to get paid. And he knew what that would mean to the team. And I think maybe some of the negativity that's in his mind when it comes to the situation is also the outlook in the future and what the runway looks like for them in the next couple of years. Because it doesn't seem like much is going to change as far as them becoming a complete team quickly. Like the defense has shown some bite. And so maybe that's what's going on here, but I totally hear what you're saying. I want you to hear from Ja'Marr Chase and what he sees from Joe Burrow and maybe some of the energy he's feeling from him day in and day out.
I don't really know nothing about it at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? That's something.
You might have seen something that we're not.
I mean, but like I've seen a little bit from the TV walking outside from practice, and then like I turned my eyes, but I don't know nothing about it. At the end of the day, I see him the same every day. To me, he loves football. You know what I'm saying? But that's a him question. I can't answer that for him. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day.
And I'm asking for your perspective. I'm not trying to.
I don't know. From what I see the same person every day. You know, he comes to work. He loves work. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he don't look like he's bummed to be here, you know?
But
that's the same every day.
It's also one of those things, too, where I think we may have to leave a little bit of room for a guy just having a moment.
I agree with you. After hearing that, I'm like, okay, maybe Joe Burrow is just kind of venting in the moment.
He has a lot of those, though, in press conferences.
Yeah, I think of remember the Tyreek Hill situation a couple years ago after the game, where it's kind of fresh, and he goes to the meeting, because I'm not going to be here, I want out, essentially, and all those things. Sometimes these guys just have those emotional moments, and we have to give them that, because we're so used to them kind of going by the book and giving us player speak and coach speak and all those things, that now we just have to wait and see see how real this is, right? How serious he is about this. And maybe this turns into something in the offseason and he wants to ask out. I don't think we're going to get to that point. Maybe I'm wrong, DT, but I just don't think we're at that point just yet. This, to me, could also be a player speaking through the media to his front office and saying, hey, what's been going on in front of me, maybe when it comes to the offensive line stuff, I'm not happy about. And if you don't get it fixed, then I might have to throw my weight around and do some things that we've seen star athletes do and ask out. But again, I don't think we're at that point, but there could be certain games that he's trying to play through the media as well.
Yeah, I respect all that. And like I've said, if I were a Bengals fan here, I would be frustrated with how cryptic some of the stuff Joe Burrow has said is, and even into the past. But, you know, as a sports media professional, like you said right there, it's not quarterback speak, it's not coach speak, it's not cliches. It's blunt honesty and it's emotion, and I think we have to respect that, right? It's entertaining and it's the truth for him in this moment, right? Yeah. So I while I'm kind of frustrated by it, and I think it's a little bit overboard from Joe Burrow with me saying that, I kind of respect it because it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I want to play this clip from Kurt Warner. Here he is on Joe Burrow, and maybe how many teams would be lining up to acquire Joe Burrow if, let's say, Joe Burrow said, I want out of here.
I think Brock's really good, but I also do believe Joe's better than Brock is and brings more to the table. And so I think, you know, I mean, if that were the case, you probably have 28 teams in the league that say Joe Burrow would be an upgrade at the quarterback spot, not a knock on any of these other guys that are really good quarterbacks in this league. It's just Joe's one of the special ones.
I don't know if 28 is the exact number, but I agree with him that it would be a large majority of the NFL that would sit back and say, okay, you know, the guy that we got, you know, is that really somebody we want to roll with? Because we've seen with our own eyes, you keep this guy upright, you got the right stuff around him, you have one of the best offensive type of ceilings in the league.
He's a franchise-altering quarterback.
No doubt.
If he were to somehow become available, I mean, even teams with quarterbacks might be interested in Joe Burrow. You might favor him to the guy that you have, even if you have a dude.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
No, no doubt. You're all over it, man. I completely agree with you right there. Coming up next, second segment of our second hour of every Friday show we do Under Pressure. That is coming up next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Come on!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon with some sunshine poking through. We'll be down into the upper 20s tonight with heavy snow expected Saturday. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day for the second half of the day as multiple inches of snowfall are expected to fall. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by 3D Cabinetry. 3DCabinetry.net, where quality meets affordability.
All right, let's get into it. Welcome back in Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice, Dylan Tyre in the house today for AR. I'll lead this thing off for us this week. And I'm going to zoom out from the world of sports, but zoom in on the world of sports entertainment. Because tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, it's a big day for us wrestling fans. Because the last time is now. The last time is now. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what I'm talking about. Tomorrow will be John Cena's last appearance in the WWE ring. One of the best to ever do it. So I'm putting some pressure on the WWE creative team and Triple H because they got to go out with a banger. DT, there's reports out there right now, man. They don't know if they want him to start the show, to end the show. I don't know what the heck is happening. I'll be locked in. They messed up the whole Goldberg retirement match and post-speech and all of that stuff. You can't do this to John Cena. I know you can't see him, but you got to treat him right. And if you don't treat him right, I'm coming over there to give you an attitude adjustment myself. So, first candidate for me this week is WWE and Triple H. You got to take care of one of the GOATs, John Cena, the last time is now.
I love that. I'm not a big wrestling guy myself, but I'm going to see it all over social media, so I'm fired up to check that out. I love me some John Cena. He's a real GOAT, right?
Okay.
For me, I got to put my Columbus Blue Jackets under a little bit of pressure. If you guys don't know, that's my day job. I'm a Blue Jackets broadcaster, and I've watched this team for a bunch of years now. We wanted to see this team take a step this season. It looked like they were on the right path, but they've hit a little bit of a rough patch lately. It's that point in the season. The standings are really, really tight in the Eastern Conference. The Blue Jackets are still right in the thick of the mix, but you need to start winning hockey games. It feels like at this time of year, right around Christmas, into the new year, that's when the good teams in the NHL seem to separate, and the Blue Jackets want to be one of those good teams. They started off a four-game homestand with a loss last night. They didn't look particularly good doing it. You got to apply some pressure now. The goaltending situation. Elvis was not good yesterday. He needs to feel the pressure. Dean Evason, the Blue Jackets head coach, switching up the lines today at practice. We're going to see some differences moving forward. I think obviously you see some pressure there making changes. So, hey, if you're a fan right now that's frustrated, I completely get that. It's understandable. I'm a little bit frustrated too because this team has it in the room.
They got it.
They've got the guys. They just need to take that next step. The time is now. So, yeah, it's okay to feel a little bit of pressure.
While we're there, what's been your feeling, your thoughts on the goaltending situation this year and how Coach Dean's gone about that?
Elvis needs to be better.
Yeah.
Flat out. I mean, they were rotating to start this season. Then Jet Greaves kind of emerged as the guy. He started a bunch of games in a row. They gave Elvis an opportunity, and he hasn't been great. I was surprised to see Elvis get the start yesterday, and he gets pulled. He was the first Blue Jackets goalie to get pulled this season, gave up three in the first period, and the Blue Jackets ended up losing the game by three. Yeah. So, tough.
Like it. Good stuff there, and that's real right there. I'm going to the NFL for my second candidate. I'm going to Kansas City, DT. It's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They are up against it. Here is a divisional opponent. They're staring down the barrel of not going to the postseason. 6-7 right now. They're not going to win the AFC West. It's been clunky all year. As we sit here right now in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs are the 10 seed. You lose this one, I think you are officially cooked. It's do or die time. They've lost three of their last four, so they're moonwalking the wrong way. They're not going where they want to go. One thing that's really jumped out to me as far as reason why they haven't been as successful in the past is their defense isn't as dominant, but their run game to me isn't there as far as just being a thing you have to respect. It's never really been like overwhelming in the years of Mahomes with all the playmakers and what they can do through the air, but this year it's really gone backwards. Mahomes is their second leading rusher. He's second on the team in rushing touchdowns. In every game this year where he's been the leading rusher, they've lost that game. And so there's just a lot on his plate right now. And then now you're going to ask him to overcome some guys on the offensive line that aren't there. The former Buckeye Simmons, he's been out of sight, out of mind. Now he's got an injury. Their backup left tackle last week tore his ACL. And so when you're dealing with Harbaugh and that defense and those guys and how they can come after you, and you're looking at the last game of your season as far as for leaving the door open to the playoffs, I've got to put the Chiefs on the pressure list because this is just something we're not used to seeing. They're always in the mix, and they're usually playing in the Super Bowl. But right now, DT, it doesn't even look like they're going to the dance, man.
And speaking of something you're not used to seeing, just the level of composure and panic there is very, very shocking to me. We saw them go for it on fourth down twice in their own territory in that game against Houston when they absolutely did not have to. I think The first time they went for it at their own 30 with, what, about 10 minutes left in
right
the fourth
around
quarter?
There. Yeah.
You punt that, you're fine. Houston's offense wasn't doing anything. They did it again with about 5.5 minutes left, I believe. Didn't have to do it at that point. Just shocking to see what's going on there, but I'm with you. You could put pressure on a lot of teams around the NFL right now with how tight the playoff race is, but I'm actually going to go to New York City for the Heisman Trophy ceremony tomorrow night. All the pressure in the world is on club promoters in New York City because Diego Pavia is in the building.
Talk about it.
You got to put on a show for Diego Pavia.
Yep.
This guy is around. Cam Scataboo's out there. Diego Pavia's out there. Theo Vaughn's out there. Diego Pavia is a man about town. This guy is everywhere.
Yeah.
He might be at this WWE event. Who
Probably.
The heck knows? But those club promoters, you got to be. It's dialed up right now. Yeah. You need Pavia in your club this weekend.
He'll have the house rocking. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. One of the great, I think, characters of the sport.
Get the chrome hearts
these
on.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes,
let's
I'm here
the
for
club.
That. I love it. Last candidate for me. Rhyme Time kind of touched on this team in overs and unders. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, we're sitting here in the middle of December, and your Cleveland Cavaliers are seventh in the East. Now, I'll give them this. I'll give them some grace. They've had some tough injury luck. However, the landscape of the East this year was supposed to be the Cavs are at worst going to be, what, the 1 or 2 seed this year. So seventh in the East, 4-6 over their last 10 games, and they got to go right now. Because the schedule here in the next couple weeks is going to get really tough for them. But right now, they have a chance to make up some ground. They play a combination of Charlotte, Washington, and New Orleans until the 23rd of December. But after that, it starts to get real. It's the Knicks. It's the Rockets. It's Denver and Detroit. So the first thing is they have to get healthy. But where we are right now, they have to start handling business against three of the worst teams in the entire NBA. They get healthy, getting ready for the postseason. I think they can make some noise in a potentially a deep run. But right now, it's just not good enough. Donovan Mitchell is doing everything he can, but some other guys really got to start making massive leaps, and specifically Evan Mobley. We know it's there, but he's got to bring it to the table more consistently. So I'm going with the Cleveland Cavaliers to get themselves headed in the right direction, because the right now, the seventh seed in the East just ain't going to cut it.
All right, for me, my final one, and I'm going to do a little bit of a flip of the script right here. You guys ready for this?
Yeah,
everybody's talking about the Colts and Phillip Rivers. I'm going to put the pressure on the defensive line of the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
If this old guy is going to be starting this game, you've got to get after him. You've got to have, what, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 sacks in this game? You can't get embarrassed.
Yeah.
All the pressure in the world is on these guys up front and on that defense especially, because everybody is saying, oh my God, what a joke this is that Phillip Rivers is playing. You can't be clowned if you're that defense, right?
Watch him hang 30 on him.
Right. Like, you can't get clowned.
Are they in a lose-lose situation to where if you dominate him, you are supposed to, but if you don't, you're getting clowned because you got chopped up by a grandpa?
Or is it just because, like, oh, you're sacking a grandpa, man? Like, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily go lose-lose because I think the expectation is there and they should win that game handily.
Yeah.
But, man, oh, man, if... There's going to be a lot of social clips if he does anything in that game.
Anything
good.
Good. That game is scheduled to kick off at 4:25 in Seattle on CBS. Got to get eyeballs on that one. And look, this Seattle team, man, made a coaching change a couple of years ago with Mike McDonald. He was on the Ravens staff as their defensive coordinator. And I always get he and Mike McDaniel confused. It took me forever to get that right. Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins and Mike McDonald with Seattle.
Polar opposite style guys.
Completely polar opposite. Offensive-minded guy, defensive-minded guy. You're so right about that. But, yeah, man, Seahawks where they need to be in first place in the NFC West. And that division is popping right now, DT. You've got this Niners team that's in third place, but 9-4. And so some interesting stuff for sure on the way out there in the NFC West.
Yeah, I want to ask Brendan Deeg about that, because that NFC playoff picture, it's kind of coming down to the Niners versus the Bears versus the Lions. So I want to see what he says.
We will get into that next. DT just mentioned it. Brendan Deeg from The Score does a great job covering the NFL. Will join us in 2 minutes right here on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Details.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion. Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to, this is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Happy Friday to you. Going to bring on one of our favorites right now. He is Brendan Deeg, does an awesome job covering the NFL over at The Score. We're going to bring him now via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Gas Hotline. Brendan, what's going on, my man? It's been too long. How you been?
Not much, man. We're sitting on the Philip Rivers news here at the Score News Desk, waiting to see if he's starting Sunday. It looks like he will, but the wave's confirmation.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. But I want to ask you this, because now we got kind of the playoffs to a certain degree taking shape and all of those things. As we sit here going in to week 15, and you may have just hinted at it, but what is the most excited thing you're anticipating to watch this weekend in the NFL?
Bunch of good games. Like, this is as good as a week 15 slate that any fan can ask for. Mine are going to the AFCs, Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots. These two teams played each other earlier in primetime. The Patriots won that game. Patriots are sitting two games up on the Bills in the division, and I'm really curious to see if the Bills can kind of ride the momentum off the Cincinnati Bengals win last week. Patriots coming off a bye as well. I'm fascinated. Like, these two quarterbacks, Drake May is from second behind Matthew Stafford, MVP right now. Josh Allen is third MVP odds. I think these are kind of two different teams as well when they played each other earlier in the year. The Bills haven't been able to stop the run majority of the year. Buffalo's run defense has been playing well. They've led the third fewest rushing yards per game over the last 3 weeks. And the Patriots' run defense has been awful over the last stretch. So, like, since week 9, they're 31st in rush success rate on defense. So I think it's kind of, can the Patriots get the Bills even back to playing bad against the run? And can Buffalo take advantage of this defense that struggled kind of without Milt Williams in the lineup and some players on the Patriots side that have kind of faltered their defense a little bit over these last few weeks? So fascinated by this game.
Brendan, talk to me about the defending Super Bowl champs. The Philadelphia Eagles have now lost 3 consecutive games. They're going to make the playoffs. But what is the level of panic right now? Because it feels like this team is ripe for an early exit from the playoffs.
Are you sure they're going to make the playoffs?
I think they're going to make it.
As an Eagles fan, I'm not so sure, man. It's been a rough stretch of Eagles football for me. I've been a fan for over 20 plus years. And yeah, like you said, lost 3 straight. I think everyone is trying to find like a certain place to pinpoint or who to blame for the offensive struggles. In my opinion, it's kind of a ton to blame. Like, it's not just one person or one thing that's wrong. Of course, the run game is the biggest problem. Like, right now, they're 21st in EP per rush. Like, last year, they were the most efficient rushing offense, first in EP per rush last year. So then when you take away the run game, then you need a great passing attack to Canada. And the passing game has not been pretty. Jalen Hurts, especially over the last few weeks, has not played well. This has probably been the worst 4-game stretch of Jalen Hurts' career, like, since 2021 when he was the like first-year starter to kind of start his career with Nick Sirianni when he was calling plays back before Shane Steichen took over. And I think the offensive just game planning and coaching has been poor this year. Like, I was digging up some stats like throughout the week, just looking at like their hitch route rates. Like, hitch routes are just like basic curl routes, the stop routes to kind of open up other routes. Like, they're on pace to break the record for the most hitch routes run since routes have been tracked in the NFL. The scheme is boring. Anyone that can watch this film can see that the scheme is plain. It's boring. Some people call it like high school offense. Like, I actually did like some of the stuff they did in that Chargers game. I thought they got more crossing routes involved and there was a lot to work with, but just like the drop from A.J. Brown for the interception, Devontae Smith falls in interception. Jalen Hurts makes that brutal read over the middle, that interception. Then that was a great defensive play by Cam Hart, but a bad throw by Hurts at the end of that game. So like, it's almost like every time they take one step forward, they take 2 steps back. Great opportunity, though, coming up against the Raiders. Raiders' pass defense has not been good this season. Raiders' defense in general has not been good this season. Kenny Pickett looks like he's going to start. So this is like, they have a very easy schedule. They got the Commanders twice, the Raiders once, and then the Bills in their last four games. So, like, go 3-1 there in the playoffs, no matter what Dallas does. But, like, I, as an Eagles fan myself and other Eagles fans, I don't know how you can be confident in this team right now.
We're talking all things NFL with Brendan Deeg from The Score. Brendan, let's go down to Cincinnati, because I'm sure you've heard the comments from Joe Burrow, or maybe you've just even seen the quotes where he came out and said, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. When you heard that, where does your mind go? Because I had a Bengal friend of mine that reached out and was kind of going down the road of, here we go again, star quarterback, bad vibes, he's going to want to go out. Did it hit you that way?
Yeah, like if I don't want to overreact. I know, like, there's probably Bengals fans listening to this too, but like, kind of like a five, like a, that's a, like a alarm bells be ringing everywhere. If my starting quarterback, I was a fan of a team, and my starting quarterback kind of had the comments that he had, I'd be really worried. And you know what? Like, I know there's like sack numbers kind of comparing it to Andrew Luck and whatnot when he retired early. Like, Joe Burrow's been hit a lot. I get that, but I think like his frustrations, a lot of them have to be kind of as well, just with like the overall roster construction, team built around him. Like, this defense is on a historically bad pace right now. Like, they are dead last success rate, dead last in EPA per play, basically dead last in any metric you want to throw at, analytical stats, whatever. This defense has been so bad. Like, I do anytime touchdown picks for The Score, and like, they're on like the record to break. They're on a trend right now to break like the record for like the worst defense against tight ends in the NFL. Like, if you're a quarterback in this league, right, and you keep getting hurt and you keep kind of having to will your team to victory, and like, you keep having to watch his defense on the other side of the offensive line not playing well, it must be frustrating. Like, if you're a Bengals fan and just anyone watching, so you kind of have to understand where Burrow's head's at. Maybe he's going through stuff personally as well that we don't know about. So yeah, like, I my alarm bells would be going off if I was a Bengals fan. That's definitely not what you want to hear. And he's probably angry. Like, he has the right to be angry. Sorry for kind of things that are going around him. Is he going to retire? Probably. Like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's what he was getting at, because the week before that, when they won, it was all like, he was all smiles, right? Like, I think it's kind of the NFL's a lot of a week to week business, right? Like, that was a really tough loss against Buffalo. So I was just feeling his emotions here. It's like, if they win against Baltimore this coming up, like, maybe his mindset changes, right? So you never know. But yeah, it's not great if your $200+ million quarterback is saying those things late in the season. He's not even 30 years old yet.
This NFC playoff picture is extremely fascinating right now. I think there's, you know, obviously so much still up in the air, but you've got the Carolina Panthers in the mix. It looks like they could win the NFC South against all odds. It looked like the Bucs were going to walk away with it. And then when it comes to that wild card, I think it looks like it'll be between three teams, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, and the San Francisco 49ers. So just generally here, Brendan, how do you think it all shakes out in these next few weeks?
The Bears have a really, really tough schedule coming on the stretch. I know they have the Cleveland Browns this week. The Browns, like, I know the Browns didn't beat the Titans last week, but they've been playing better football. I kind of feel like this might be a trap game for the Bears a little bit, but I do like the Chicago team. Like, I think they played hard against the Packers. I really liked what I saw in the second half against them. I think they're going to go 2-2 down the stretch and get in the playoffs. The 49ers schedule is very easy as well down the stretch. They have the Colts, and like, in general, I think they have like one of the easy schedules this season. Like, if they do get a Philip Rivers Colts team as well, that will help. It kind of, like, in my opinion, if the Lions lose this week, you got the Los Angeles Rams coming up. Like, if I was to be a betting man here, I think the Lions would be going to be the odd team out here in the wild card. And then when it comes to the NFC South division, I'm a Buccaneers fan, I'm worried about what I'm seeing from Baker Mayfield. He looks hurt. If you saw that game last night, like that interception, he couldn't get all his full force onto it. Like, if you look at on the season this year too, I was looking up stats before the game earlier this week. Like, he's like in the bottom eighth in success rate of all quarterbacks on a down to down basis. He has not, it's not been pretty. They've lost five of the last seven. He's not played well basically kind of since he was like the MVP of the league for the first 4 or 5 weeks. And I hated what I saw from Todd Bowles. I don't know how they didn't blitz Kirk Cousins on that 4th and 14, like how you just rush forward and kind of let him pick you apart. Didn't like the defensive adjustments all game. So I'll take the Carolina Panthers. I think they get a win over the New Orleans Saints this weekend, and I think they kind of take control of the NFC South. I think, like, just overall, they're a better team than the Bucs right now, and I know they still have to play each other down the stretch, but I think I'm buying the Panthers more than the Bucs.
Brendan, what's more of a head-scratcher for you? Is it the Baltimore Ravens at 6-7 or the Kansas City Chiefs sitting there at 6-7?
I think it's got to be the Chiefs. You know what? I was actually looking, like I was kind of like brainstorming this take earlier this week, and I was kind of looking at the Ravens roster and kind of the things that went wrong with them this year. And like this, just Ravens team just isn't the same team of old, especially with Lamar hurt. Like there's not a ton of talent here. With Justin Madubuike retiring earlier this year, or not retiring, sorry. There's rumors that he's retiring, but he's out with a neck injury. There's rumors around Baltimore that he's already retired and that he's not going to be playing football again. And like just like the defensive talent with him gone. On the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line is really struggling. Lamar Jackson's injuries, like his sack rate is way up. His pressure to sack rate is in an astronomical number compared to his like years past. It's upwards of 23% right now. It was 22% heading into last week. It usually hovers at like 7 to 6%. So like he's just not getting away from pass rushers as he used to. And just he doesn't have a ton of wide receiver help. Like to me, like I think an underrated story or something that I just didn't see going this year is maybe this Baltimore machine just isn't as good as we all thought they were compared to years past. And they can't handle like Lamar Jackson's injury when he's not like willing the team to victory. The Chiefs, like I'm at the point, like until the Chiefs are like mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, like I'm not buying them out. Like I think they're going to beat the Chargers this week. If they win the rest of their game, so I was on the Athletics playoff simulator earlier this week, if they win out, they have about a 54% chance to make the playoffs. I know that's a lot of asking, like they have to win out and they need some help, but their schedule is very easy down the stretch. I still think, like if I was a betting man, I still think the Chiefs are going to squeeze in the playoffs, but they have a lot of work to do. And the Chiefs thing is just like, they went from being amazing at one score games last year to 1-7 in it this year. Like it completely flipped around and just like little situations. Like third down has been their biggest issue. Mahomes' passer rating on third down and is from 2018 to 2024 combined is 111 and this year it's 68. Just like little things like that. Like on defense, they're 30th and you play on third down. Like they're just that one specific down and like just a couple turnovers here and there. And the one score games things like their luck from like the last year completely flipped in the opposite direction instead of kind of like middling out and being the median this season. And I think that's really hurt them. So I think the Chiefs are a bigger surprise to answer your question than the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, Brendan, we're talking about these teams that are surprise bad teams this year. The Ravens, the Chiefs, it looked like the Bills were in trouble for a while there. You know, the cream of the AFC right now is the Patriots and the Broncos. And maybe in the NFC, the Rams, and I'm not quite sure who else. This moment in time, who is your Super Bowl favorite?
I picked the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, and I'm sticking with it. I actually think there's a good chance that they can still win the AFC East. If they win this game, the Athletic playoffs, when I was doing it earlier, they have a 71% a 39% chance, or 29% chance, sorry, the Patriots have a 71% chance to win it. I know it's not a lot with a win, but the Patriots also see the Ravens after this week. So I think the Bills in the AFC East that even helps them a ton. Like, look, let's say Mahomes doesn't make the playoffs. Let's say Lamar Jackson has won the playoffs. Who's the best quarterback in the playoffs? And that's Josh Allen. I think the Bills are going to be able to solve kind of the run defense issues. Ed Oliver looks like he's going to be back at some point. They get Joey Bosa back this week. The run defense has been better. I trust Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills over any of the teams. Like the Patriots, like we still haven't seen them play good teams yet. Like the Bills, I know they beat the Bills and the Bucks, but like over a long stretch of games in the playoffs, can they win three in a row? I'm going to ride the guy that I thought was going to win the MVP this year and Josh Allen, who still might, and the team that I picked the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year in the Buffalo Bills. I still think they're the best team, even though they're 9-4 and not in the division lead or the top spot. But it's close. Like this is like this is as up for grabs as we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. Could be fun on the way down to the finish line, that is for sure. He's Brendan Deeg from The Score, does an awesome job covering the NFL over at The Score. Brendan, happy Friday, man. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Appreciate it. Coming up next, we got a Buckeye Bulletin for you, and you'll hear Ryan Day's thoughts on potentially expanding the college football playoff even more. That's next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Don't let
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Details. Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, DT, let's get into a Buckeye Bulletin. Dylan Tyer in the house today for our guy, AR. Coach Day, got a lot going on right now, getting his team ready to go for whoever it may be. Texas A&M or Miami. That game will be down in Dallas on the 31st, so that'll be a great scene. And especially, Dylan, if it's A&M, you know, that's kind of their backyard, man. So they're going to be feeling good about that home field advantage, if you will. But we know Buckeye fans will find a way to make their impact in that venue too.
No doubt. Who do you think it is, by the way? I haven't asked you about this. Like, right off the top of your head, do you think it's you or do you think it's A&M?
I think it's A&M.
Okay.
I think it's A&M. Because for me, I'm at a point to where I really don't know what Carson Beck's showing up to the party every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, catch him one week, he looks like what they told us he was supposed to be last offseason, top five-ish pick type of guy, and then had the injury stuff that happened at Georgia, but then when he was healthy, just the waves of interceptions that can come when he's not right. He just can't seem to slow that down, but Miami's obviously a very solid team, and so it's a fun matchup because of the quarterbacks that are in this game. And if both guys bring their best to the field, they can stress out any defense. But my gut's telling me A&M right now. Where are you at?
Yeah, so I think it's an intriguing thing because we talked about it a little bit with Field Yates earlier, and I had said this going into the Indiana game and, you know, really kind of in general. I felt that Ohio State, if you could get a pass rush against Ohio State, that was when they were going to truly be tested. I think you could see that with Reuben Bain in Miami. Sure. But on the other side of things, you've got Marcel Reed in A&M, and that's an intriguing test for the defense. But, you know, you talked about turning over the football as far as it goes with Carson Beck. Marcel Reed turns it over, too. So I would have called Texas A&M a fraud if it weren't for that comeback in the South Carolina game. But either way, I think you have your challenges. So right now, I'm going to lean the U. I think the U comes away with it because I think, you know, Reuben Bain, a guy like that, is such a difference maker defensively, and those guys step up in the playoffs. So give me the U.
Yeah, man. Sounds like we need a prop for each quarterback to throw an interception.
You may be right about that.
You can't bet player props in the state of Ohio, tough. Jacob.
I'm just saying. Sounds like that'd be a banger.
If you went down to Kentucky,
you can do it there.
You could take care of it.
You could definitely do it there. So, yeah, look, it should be a banger of a game. And we were talking earlier just about the path for Ohio State and just the venues that they potentially could play in. I think how comfortable the offense may be, right? If they get to go from Dallas to Arizona to Miami, you got to love that this time of year, right? Because you just never know. Some of these, I don't know, I got to go look at the weather, some of these first round matchups and what that, could that have an impact? But for Ohio State, they're not going to have to worry about that. So college football playoff gets going next Friday, I believe the 19th. So that's not too far away. So that'll be cool to see. Stephen A. Smith, he had Coach Day on his show, and he asked him, as a head coach, what do you think about where the college football playoff is headed, and what are your thoughts on expansion? And here is a little bit of that back and forth.
Knowing football the way that you do, how do you feel about the college playoff system? Are you good with it? Do you think there needs to be increased to 16 teams, 20 teams, keep it as it is? What's your mentality about all of that?
Yeah, I like the playoff system. I think it allows your team to grow and to build as the season goes on. You know, I think back before that happened, we played a game early in the season with Texas, and if you win or lose that game, your season could be over. I mean, yeah, maybe back in the day when there was only, you know, four teams, or even before that when there was two teams in a national championship game, your season could be over. And I don't think that's, you know, good. I think it's good when you watch your team grow and learn, and then the best team at the end of the year typically has a chance to win. So that part, you know, watching us last year and kind of how we grew and learned from a couple setbacks, I think was a great story. And I think when you look at that part of it, I think that's great. I do think that, you know, having conference championships, you know, if it's going to stay kind of at this level, I guess would make some sense, because if you win your conference, then you should be in. I think you deserve that, sort of like the basketball tournament. But I would be in favor of expanding the field. And that way
to 16 or 20,
I'd go all the way to 20. Yeah. I think it's good for football. I think it's good for everybody. I think you're seeing a lot of these schools opt out of bowl games, which is just, you know, not good for the sport. And I think the more teams that we can involve in the postseason, the better.
You talking about Notre Dame right there?
Notre Dame should be in.
Yeah. Well, you can give your take on that real quick, but I also want to, I'm not in favor of expanding this thing to 16 or 20.
Really?
No, I just.
Okay, let's argue.
My stance has always been, I don't think there's going to be enough teams that are worthy of winning a national championship. And I think we romanticize a bracket and we romanticize the potential to win a national championship. And I get all that. I just don't think there's ever going to be teams deserving, or that many teams deserving, of getting there. And to me, bigger isn't always better. I was in favor of keeping four. I was in the minority with that. I get that. I knew it was going to expand. As I sit here today, and I'm embracing already, this thing is going to expand, but I'm just not down with 16 or 20 teams. I think they should scale it back to even 8 at this point. Where are you at with this?
So I'm going to go a little bit deeper into this and say, give me a BCS ranking 1 through 16, and the top 16 teams make the playoff. I'm good with that. If we're going to do automatic bids for conference champions, get me to 20 and still go BCS style, and then conference champions get the automatic bids. Okay. You know, the thing for me is I'll counter your argument there. And a lot of people like to say that there aren't enough deserving teams who could win a national championship. I would disagree with that in the NIL era, because with transfer portal and all these different things, I think the teams that are ranked, I know we don't rank 40, but the teams that are probably 15 to 40 are relatively close, if that makes any sense. And, like, how far away is the 8th best team from Ohio State? Because if you're going to say that, you know, only X amount of teams are deserving of a national championship or have the ability to win a national championship, that's a very, very small number. Like, how many teams realistically are there? You're thinking the blue bloods there, right? Thinking like Ohio State. But I do think that there is enough variation year to year now from that like 8 to 15 range and then kind of 15 beyond that, that there are enough teams to make this thing viable and make this thing interesting.
There's no doubt, to your point about NIL and the impact that it's had, that some of the talent is spreading out just a little bit. But I just don't know if some of those programs that you may be referencing will have the depth good enough to maybe compete and go on runs in the tournament. And so you're going to be on the right side of this thing, because that's where this thing is headed. And I like your idea, because I hadn't heard that before. And that would be pretty creative. There is your Buckeye Bulletin for today. Coming up top of the hour in the deep dive, we got an update on the Brownies, because the Brownies are feeling pretty good about what happened last week, even though they lost, and the vibes around Shador are great. But DT's got an update on the health of the Brownies coming up next as they're getting ready to take on the Chicago Bears, and a special interview with someone from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And that someone is Carol Richardson, who is the Senior Director of Donor Advising at the Make-A-Wish in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. AR sat down with her. It's a really cool interview. You'll hear that in our talk about the Browns and Bears next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Tinny.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Ex-Michigan head coach Sharon Moore has been charged with third-degree felony home invasion, misdemeanor stalking, and misdemeanor breaking and entering after his Wednesday arrest. He was fired for having an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. His next hearing is January 22nd of next year. Buckeyes quarterback Julian Sain has landed in New York City for Saturday's Heisman Trophy presentation. This morning on Bishop and Friends, Sain said he's excited about the experience.
You know, I'm just excited to kind of experience what they have planned. I don't have any specific things that I want to go see, but, I'm just excited to see what the experience is and, take it all in.
Ceremony starts tomorrow night at 7. MLB, ESPN's Jeff Passan reported Guardians manager Steven Vogt signed a multi-year deal before the 2025 season. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three on a football Friday. Hope you guys are having a great day. Thanks, as always, for giving us some of your time. Bottom of the hour, Adam Jardy does an awesome job covering Ohio State men's basketball and more over at the Dispatch. He will join us because I know for a lot of you, we're in football season, rocking and rolling, but we got to check in on these basketball Buckeyes. They have a game against West Virginia tomorrow, I believe, up in Cleveland. So it'll be good to get an update from him at 2:30. Brownies coming off a game last week to where they probably feel like they should have won it. But if you're a Browns fan, maybe you're like, hey, we're good. We didn't win the game. Still got some good draft positioning with that loss. And our potentially quarterback of the future looked pretty doggone good in Shedeur Sanders. But here they are making a trip up to Chi-Town this weekend. 1 o'clock kick for that one. However, DT, you were letting me know during the break that this is a beat up crew right now for the Brownies.
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit earlier that I like the over in this game. I think I like it even more now, checking out some of the injuries. So the guys out: Jack Conklin, Aiden Huntington, David Njoku, Dylan Sampson, Wyatt Teller, Denzel Ward, and of course Deshaun Watson. So those are some big pieces out. Then questionable, you've got Joel Bitonio, Malachi Corley, Mason Graham, Cedric Tillman, and Zach Zinter. So you've got a bunch of offensive linemen banged up. You've got Denzel Ward out, a couple of critical pieces to the offense, and Njoku and Sampson out. Cedric Tillman, questionable. Man, oh man, and Mason Graham, too, on that defense. Tough. It's
brutal. Good news for your Bears. Bad news, obviously, for the Brownies, and especially, like, if you're Shedeur, for a guy that's not very mobile. Like, he can get by with some of his agility and get away from some pressure here and there, but he ain't Caleb Williams. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar, anything like that. To have the game that you had last week and to come into this game with a questionable offensive line, at least on paper right now, it could be a tough day for him. Could be a tough day for him up there. But look, in the NFL, you got to find a way to overcome at that position.
It's what the Tennessee Titans do to you, man. They play hat on hat in Nashville, and they bang you up.
No doubt.
We've said that all season long.
I was looking at some of these anytime touchdowns real quick in the Browns game. Your boys, DeAndre Swift, plus 135, DJ Moore, plus 200, Luther Burden, plus 200. I actually kind of like another Harold Fannin touchdown this week.
Yeah, I've liked Harold Fannin a lot this year. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, they hit it out of the park with their draft.
They did.
Shedeur really has a nice connection with Harold Fannin.
I like the value on that plus 230.
What's Cedric Tillman anytime touchdown?
Cedric Tillman. Let me see if I can find. Where is Cedric Tillman?
Is he not listed because he's hurt?
I am not seeing him on the board, DT.
All right.
I don't have anything right now for Cedric Tillman over at Bet365.
All right. Well, a little something in the back of my mind is telling me if Cedric Tillman plays, give me a Cedric Tillman anytime touchdown.
Something to look out for. Yeah. Hey, that's for sure. Our guy AR did an awesome sit down with the senior director of donor advising at Make-A-Wish of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Her name is Carol Richardson. They got a really cool thing going on right now. The inaugural, a home for the holidays home raffle in Central Ohio. So here's the interview that they did, and listen in closely because it's some cool stuff.
All right, what a pleasure it is to have Carol Richardson in studio with us. She is the senior director of donor advising at Make-A-Wish of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And you've been with Make-A-Wish for 10 years. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I love my job.
This is a spotlight for us this year, especially this time of the year. The inaugural A Home for the Holidays home raffle in Central Ohio featuring a beautiful new home in the Evans Farm community in Lewis Center. When I saw this, Carol, I said, my goodness, they're raffling off a home and we can help kids and make a wish. It really does sound like a win-win. How special is this for you?
It's amazing. I am not only an employee at Make-A-Wish, but I'm also a wish mom. My oldest daughter had a wish in 2012, and today she's doing great. She's a student at Ohio State. So I've been with this mission for a long time, both as a wish family, a volunteer, and a staff person. So anything that we can do to help grant wishes for the kids in Central Ohio and all across Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, I'm all for it.
And these kids, we root for them, right? They're suffering from critical illnesses, and these are the very, very special children that deserve this.
100%. I'm obviously a mother of two daughters, and when you look at your own child and they're not well, whether it be, you know, they're coughing at night or they're in the hospital with a critical illness, you ask any parent, what would you do for your sick child? And the answer is anything.
Yeah.
And we all feel that way. So if we're able to help these kids that are the most vulnerable in our community, facing unbelievable challenges so young in life, we want to do it.
So let's talk about those wishes. Yeah. What wish or wishes do you believe are most common that you receive, especially with some Ohio families?
Yeah, well, that's easy. About half of our wishes are, if you had to guess, what would you say it is?
Oh, something with Ohio State?
We do grant some Ohio State wishes, but it pales in comparison to how many kids we send to Disney World. You know, the kids want to get away. They want to go on a trip. They want to be with their family, and it really does take them to a different place. So we have a great partnership with Disney, and those kids love going there.
So the raffle supports Make-A-Wish, as I said, in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, and the Home Builders Association's foundation, Build Trades. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that partnership and the impact it makes.
Sure. So we do have, with Make-A-Wish, we have board members, and some of them work, you know, have their own construction company. And this kind of grew out of a relationship that we had in Cleveland. They started there. They've been doing a home for the holidays in Cleveland now for 6 years, and it's become very exciting there and very well received. A lot of people buying tickets. And we thought, you know what, we can replicate that in Columbus. And we're trying to get the word out there. This is our first year. We would love to sell more tickets. It not only benefits our Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana chapter of Make-A-Wish, but it also benefits that skilled trade. We are in partnership with them so that not only can we grant wishes, but we can also help the Home Builders Association with that education and hiring of a skilled trade to do, you know, the labor.
We are with Carol Richardson, the Senior Director of Donor Advising at Make-A-Wish of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. So the prize home, especially in that location, in Evans Farm and Lewis Center. What stands out to you about this home?
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to ask you the question that everybody is probably yelling at me to ask. How much are the tickets? And will this home actually be raffled off?
Yes. So the tickets are $100, and you can buy them now through this month. The drawing is on December 24th, Christmas Eve, so you want to make sure you get it before then. And the house is beautiful. I've been there multiple times. I'm actually going there again later today. If you'd like to visit, the house is open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 to 5. It is an $850,000 plus house. Because so many vendors stepped up and they said, oh, okay, this is what we would normally do. We're going to go above and beyond to do a little extra because we want to showcase what we can do, or we want to make this house really amazing. And Evans Farm is such a beautiful community. It's walkable. The trees are big. There's cute little shops and dining area. There's a workout facility all within walking distance. It's like a front porch community. So many people know their neighbors there because they are encouraged by the setup and the architecture there to spend time outside. How exciting would it be on Christmas Day to be handed the keys to a brand new home?
It would be amazing. And unless you've already answered this, or you can buy more than one ticket?
You can buy as many tickets as you'd like. I cannot buy a ticket as a staff member at Make-A-Wish, but my husband can. And
beautiful.
He has. So yeah, buy tickets.
Okay, good. How and where can they buy these tickets, and when will the home be raffled?
Yes. Well, it's the best Christmas present because the winner will be drawn on Christmas Eve, and you can buy tickets at ahomefortheholidayscolumbus.com. And those are $100 per ticket. And who wouldn't want to have a new house this Christmas?
But the key is also selling enough tickets, and they can go to the website and buy them.
Yes, 100%. I'll say it again. ahomefortheholidayscolumbus.com is the website. But we really, really, really want to sell more tickets so that somebody can win this beautiful $850,000 house. And even if we don't sell enough tickets, there'll be a cash prize depending on how many tickets we sell. So it's a win-win.
Wonderful. Congratulations on everything, and I hope this continues to be a great success.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Really cool stuff. Thanks to our guy, AR, and a special thanks to Carol Richardson for giving us some of her time and shining a light on a really cool situation. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, the Cincinnati Bengals have a chance to kind of spoil the playoff hopes for a division rival in the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Will T. Higgins be available for Joey B and that offense? We will tell you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Let's see. High school, Buckeyes, Browns, kids in the retention pond. It must be Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Football is good. The Fan.
Getting cold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Dudoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
In the Central Ohio, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Michael Behrens. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon. A little sun poking through. Mostly cloudy tonight. Upper 20s, low 30s tomorrow. Snow starts around the midday and continues through the evening hours. Heavy snow expected will impact travel. Multiple inches of plowable snow. 10TV Weather Impact Alert Day will be in place. That's your latest weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet 365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet 365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, welcome back in. Before we get in to some Pre-Snap Reads, it's time to lock in on Bet365, because at Bet365, you're a new customer. They got a great deal waiting for you. All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is lay down $5, and you are going to get in return $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines. Keep an eye out, folks. Look closely for those daily boosts and super boosts as well. They got some cool stuff happening over at Bet365, so get on that right now. I want to run this by you guys because I'm looking at something and I'm liking it, but I need a little support before I go all in with this. We locked in earlier a little bit on Phillip Rivers, him coming back as a grandpa, having to play against Seattle, and then we've talked about Jaxon Smith-Njigba and the season that he's having, but also the Colts being hurt on the back end of that defense right now. No Sauce Gardner in this one. Their number two corner, Tavarius Ward, has been in concussion protocol. I don't know if he's going to be available, but I know this is his third time going into concussion protocol, so that seems a little dicey there. But over at Bet365, fellas, I'm looking at two or more tutties for JSN plus 450. He's caught two touchdowns in two out of the last three games. So he's done this a couple times here recently. I like the value of where that is with his talent and how banged up the back end is for Indy. Plus 450 for JSN to touch paint twice. What do you guys think?
I like that. I think it's a worthwhile shot. Man, there's just not a lot of juice on some of these TD bets this year, though. Like that two touchdown bet, I feel like maybe a couple years ago that pays a little bit higher for you. But I like that. I like taking the shot right there. It'll just depend on that game flow, right? Because we saw the one game earlier this year against the Vikings where Seattle just kind of ran the ball and didn't have to do very much. But
yeah, We'll take a shot in the dark with that.
I know my fantasy team would love that.
Oh, my goodness. Perfect time of year for that.
Exactly.
And speaking of fantasy, if you had Kyle Pitts yesterday, congratulations.
How many upsets did he just cause in playoffs?
Oh, my goodness. He just shook the room. We got to get the final line on that because it was silly at halftime. I need to find out where he finished.
He finished with 40 points, at least in depending on your scoring system, but 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think he's the first tight end to do that. I can't remember since who, but that's like a historic tight end line.
And the timing couldn't work that out.
Yeah, first guy since Shannon Sharp to do it.
Okay.
I think put 10 catches for 150 and 3 touchdowns, I believe.
He had 11 catches on 12 targets for 166 yards.
Yeah.
And 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Unreal. And the timing, it was kind of floating around yesterday, is great for him because he's getting ready to hit free agency.
Yeah.
And so you leave that type of image in a team's mind that needs a tight end, and you'll probably cash in. And I don't know if people were expecting these type of performances from him coming out of Florida. But remember, people were labeling him a unicorn and the next big thing. And it's been spotty, right? His production. But he is timing this thing up really well. So, yeah, if you missed it yesterday, Rhyme Time just laid it out. This stat line was nuts for Kyle Pitts.
Kirk unlocked him.
There he is.
He looked good. I know we got to get on to other stuff, but have you seen the touchdown trend for Kyle Pitts throughout his career?
No, I have not.
Year one, 1 touchdown. Year two, 2 touchdowns. Year three, 3 touchdowns. Year four, 4 touchdowns. He's at 4 right now. He needs one more to continue the trend.
I love it.
Hey, this guy plays 30 seasons. He's going to have the greatest season ever.
No doubt about it. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
So we were reacting earlier to the Joe Burrow comments about him essentially not having much fun right now and kind of looking around and questioning, what am I really doing this for if I'm not having fun? They have a chance to have some fun, I believe, this weekend because they're facing a division rival in the Baltimore Ravens, who they beat a couple weeks ago. And the Baltimore Ravens are hanging on to their playoff hopes by a thread here, in my opinion. And so for them, I think they'll get up for this game. The problem is they're going to be without T. Higgins again in this one. He performed well in the Buffalo game last week. I believe he caught a couple touchdowns in that one. But he's had, I think, now 2 or 3 times this season to where DT, he's dealing with this concussion stuff. And so they're going to go up against a division rival again, without one of the best 1B or number ones in the league, whatever you want to label them. We know T. Higgins can go at the highest of levels when he is right, but just unfortunate stuff for them looking to play a little spoiler this weekend.
Yeah, the same thing that Rhyme Time talked about with JSN going for 2 helping his fantasy team. T. Higgins going for 2 helped my fantasy team last week, but I watched what happened. A couple of weeks ago, he hit his head hard on the turf, and that's how he got the first concussion. Well, before he caught that second touchdown against the Bills, the exact same thing happened, and I'm sure that's where these concussion symptoms are stemming from.
Yeah.
So it hurts to have T. Higgins out of the lineup this week. Your boy Zay Flowers is going to have to fill in on my roster.
Okay, I'll send some word over there.
Give me a touchdown, for crying out loud. I can't do any more of the 7 catches for 65 yards. Give me a TD.
I'm just as frustrated as you are with this offense.
Do you have odds on a Derrick Henry touchdown?
I can cook that up for you right now.
Because I feel like that might be a lock.
Let me see what we got.
Really?
He had only 10 carries for 60 yards against the Bengals last time, and their rush defense.
What I like to do with Henry is bet a first half touchdown. Mm. If he can't quite get the juice, bet a first half.
Okay, I'll find both for you guys. Rhyme Time, you asked about an anytime tutty for Derrick Henry. That is -190 in the game. For a first half touchdown for DT, that is +150.
Mm, there you go.
There.
Okay.
And if you really think he's going to get busy in the game, if you want 2 or more, that's +260 in the game.
Didn't he feast against the Bengals last year?
Well, last year.
Last year was last year, though, brother. He was running over everybody.
The game
that's true.
Down in Cincinnati, he had a really good performance, but just that first game that they played was nuts. Remember? Because that was the Lamar kind of stiff arm and Sam Hubbard running into the sideline. And then Lamar, I think he fumbled a snap that extended the game. The game
wasn't
was
that
just
the
incredible.
Crazy Isaiah Likely touchdown, too?
Yes. All of that happened in that game. And then they went to Baltimore and played another banger of a game. And so something about when these two teams get together, it gets really, really fun. We're touching on T. Higgins here. And part of, maybe not the problem, but what they were anticipating a couple years ago, DT, when they drafted Jermaine Burton, was for this guy to step up and be the number 3. And in situations like this, be able to step up and provide some balance opposite Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, or whatever it may be. Found out this week that they've just released him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Released him. Been stories coming out last couple years of how he really hasn't been locked in the way that they want him to. These type of things were attached to his name coming out of college and all of those, all that stuff. And so you spent a third round pick on a guy in the 2024 draft. Obviously, you expected much more than this, but the kind of character issues that floated around with him coming out of Alabama followed him into the league, and he unfortunately has given the Bengals and Bengals fans absolutely nothing. And that's tough, because if he was just any type of competent wide receiver as a number three guy, then you're talking about this offense really being much more dangerous than it already is. But that did come out this week, and man, you were hoping that he'd be able to step up in these type of moments.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tough to see for a guy like that, and you hope that it works out for him, and you know, he potentially gets the help he needs, right? Because I remember his story. I think it might have been this past summer where he was evicted from where he was living because of some different stuff, violating the lease. So you just got to wonder, right? And it's one of those things where you take risks on some guys like this, and I mean, look where the Bengals are now, right? It's like, you know, you want the best for the guy, but as a football team, do you have the luxury of doing some of these things, right? Especially if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. You need those draft picks to matter.
No doubt. And you took me right where I wanted to go, because this is a team that believes they're in a Super Bowl window. And when you go out and spend, that's not the highest, obviously, of draft capital, but it's not nothing.
You're drafting starters in the third round.
Yeah, it's time to go. Like, you think that guy can either go in his rookie year or his second year, he's going to be an absolute starter for you. And I don't know right now, if you look around at some of the first-round picks they've spent, the second-round picks and third over the last few years, if you're a Bengal fan and you're loving any of these guys, or you wake up on Sunday and you're really feeling like, we know what we're getting from that guy. And so that can slow down the progression of a team when they're in their Super Bowl window. And that's kind of holding the Bengals back at the moment, outside of the obvious. And that's your key players and their availability not being where you want it to be. I want to throw this at you guys before we go to break. Phillip Rivers is going to be must-see TV this weekend. And now he's got a former quarterback that's almost 50 feeling some type of way. That guy is Tom Brady, fellas. Tom Brady came out and said, quote, "I certainly could still play quarterback in the NFL if I wanted to." You buying that?
Well, I think by the rules, he can't, because he is now a part owner of an NFL team. So I think in doing that, you forfeit your ability to come back as a player in the National Football League. Could he do it physically? Hell yeah. Phillip Rivers is doing it. Tom Brady could do it. He eats tomato ice cream, for God's sake, to keep himself right. So yeah, I could definitely see him coming back and doing it. But you know, to think about, I saw somebody say, "Hey, let's get Eli Manning back out there." To think of Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers in the same vintage is very, very funny. But they are, like, imagine Eli Manning playing in the NFL right now. Phillip Rivers is a grandpa, for God's sake.
Yeah, what do you think, Rhyme Time, about what Birdie had to say, man?
I mean, yeah, I'm right there with Dylan. I think he definitely can. I mean, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers still be
you
able
have
to play.
To have the brain for it. That's what it is. It's the brain. It's what we were talking about with Julian saying, if you can process and stay calm, you can do it if they can keep you upright.
That is very real. What I can't wait to see real quick, though, is when we get the whole flag football thing going for the Olympics, who is going to be the U.S. quarterback? Who is going to be our guy?
Ooh,
big Diego Pavia guy, or as I call him, if Rhyme Time's got it on deck, he's got to find this, because I just butchered his name one day. Just Iago Piava. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Diago Piava, baby.
Diago Piava. It's being my finest, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up here in 2 minutes, we will check in on the Buckeye basketball team. Adam Jardy does an awesome job covering them for the Columbus Dispatch. Fun one up in Cleveland tomorrow, right? Rhyme Time against West Virginia. We'll talk about that and a lot more next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
I'll take care of it for you. I promise I will. I'll get you right. A guy that's going to get us right now is Adam Jardy. Does an awesome job covering the men's basketball program for your Ohio State Buckeyes over at the Columbus Dispatch. He's going to join us right now via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Adam, happy holidays. It's been too long. How you been, my man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. As you know, a lot moving and shaking. Football season's rocking and rolling. It's been fun, but it's also always fun to lock in on this Buckeye basketball team and where they are right now at the moment. Let's start with the captain of the ship, a guy we're very familiar with, a guy that's been highly productive at this program and in this conference. For the folks that haven't locked in on where Bruce Thornton is right now in his career, just update us on the season he's having through nine games.
It's verging on historic already. He had a 34-6-6 game the other night. Now, they did lose to Illinois in that one, so he wasn't super excited talking about his individual game afterward when I asked him about it. But he's having an all-time type of season. I mean, he's flirting with 50% from, or it's like 90% from the line, 50% from three, 60% from the floor. Like, he's just, he looks every bit of the part of a four-year starter, captain, point guard who, if Ohio State can put some stuff together here and maybe put together a run this season, like, he's going to play himself into All-American status. He's been that good and that high-level productive for Ohio State this year. It's been fun to watch.
All right, Adam, 7-2 through the first nine. Early on in the season here, but like you just talked about, Buckeyes need to go on a run at some point if they want to be taken seriously. How has Ohio State looked compared to what you expected going into this season?
The offense has lived up for the most part to what we thought it would look like. This is a team that scores a lot of points and often scores a lot of points in bunches where they're just, the offense is rolling and they're scoring on 8, 9, 10 straight possessions. They share the ball at a pretty high rate. In that regard, that's pretty much matched up with what I thought this team would be as we spent all offseason diving into it. It's been a bit more of a struggle defensively than I think maybe we thought it might be, and there's still clearly some issues there. And I think overall, like, we're just kind of waiting to see, like, when it all clicks. I don't think we've seen a point yet this season where every guy for Ohio State has been playing maybe not optimal level, but just like giving a really solid all-around performance. Like, we just haven't quite seen that complete game yet, which I think probably gives you some confidence that, you know, this team is 7-2 and has been right in it with every team that they've played. And we still haven't seen this best basketball. So I think there's still a lot of room for growth if they can just kind of get everybody clicking at the same time.
Okay, speaking of, do you think we need to see a true second threat develop? The Buckeyes right now have three guys averaging just under 14 a game, and then, of course, Bruce Thornton leading the way. So does there need to be a true number two?
I mean, I think that number two on any given night, it's either going to be Devin Royal, John Mobley, or Christoph Tilley, or, you know, maybe it's like we saw at Northwestern last weekend. I mean, Brandon Knoll went off for 29 points kind of out of nowhere. So they clearly have, you know, quite a few guys on this roster that can get it done. And I don't even know that it's so much that you need a number two to emerge. I just think, like, one of the things I asked Jake Ebler about today is, like, we look at Bruce Thornton, John Mobley, Devin Royal as sort of the three-headed monster that returns from last year. And we haven't seen all three of them really put together like an all-around game at the same time. And I do think that if they can get to a point where those three are all contributing at a high level, it makes Ohio State really difficult to guard, more so than just like having a one and a two. I think they have three or four guys that legitimately should be contributing every night. They just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch joining us here on The Fan to talk about the Buckeye basketball team. You mentioned Christoph Tilley, and I know this is a new face for Buckeye fans. I remember when we went over and did one of our shows there, and Coach Diebler and the staff did a great job of hosting us for one of their practice. What jumped out to me when I saw him in person, Adam, was obviously the size, right? A 7-footer guy comes in and is looking like he's making it a positive impact. Talk about what you've learned about how his game and how he's been able to contribute night in and night out for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been as critical a component to what this team wants to be and what it could be, honestly, as anybody on the roster, because he's a 7-footer who, came into Ohio State with the reputation of being able to knock down shots from the outside, and he's also a really good ball handler and distributor. And what we have seen so far, he got off to a really hot start and was hitting some threes and distributing the ball and scoring at a high level. He had the game-winning bucket against Notre Dame. He's been dealing with a foot injury the last, like, at least 2 weeks or so that I think has really impacted his effectiveness. His shot doesn't look quite the same at the moment, and his assist numbers have dropped. But, I mean, how many times have we seen a seven-footer for Ohio State, like, lead the team in scoring? Lead the team in assists, because it just doesn't really happen. He has a unique skill set on this roster, and when he's fully healthy, he gives them a dimension that we really just haven't seen Ohio State have. He's struggled a little bit these last 2-3 games where he's not shot the ball very well. He's had a couple of turnovers. He hasn't racked up a high assist rate. So he's got to get back to kind of what he was showing through the first 6 games of the season or so. But he's unique. There's not another guy like him on the roster, and I think there's reason to believe there's still a lot better basketball ahead for him this year.
Zooming out from the current team and kind of locking in on just the future, maybe some of the recruiting stuff, Adam, how is that looking for Coach Diebler and his staff? Because we're in this era, obviously, to where you can have guys come out immediately via the transfer portal and make an impact for you. But as far as kind of the traditional way of building a program, what is that looking like for Coach Diebler and his staff right now?
Yeah, I mean, every college basketball staff is trying to figure out that blend between the transfer portal and the traditional high school recruiting route. And, I mean, Ohio State's trying to kind of thread that needle and figure out, you know, how many eggs you want to put in which basket. But they have really done some significant groundwork in these upcoming recruiting classes from even just in the state of Ohio. I mean, they have a 5-star kid coming in next year, Anthony Thompson, who is the highest-rated recruit to sign for Ohio State since Jared Sullinger. And then you stack that in the 2027 class. They have a commitment from LJ Smith, who's a Cincinnati native, but he's a 5-star kid in that class. Tall guard who's a prolific scorer, a tough defender. They've really been able to make some significant inroads with some really high-level talent in the next couple of years that all has ties to Ohio. And those guys are buying into the direction of the program and their belief in Jake Diebler and where this is headed. So they've done a better job recruiting in these last several months than we've honestly seen Ohio State do for 10 years, 15 years. They haven't stacked back-to-back 5-stars since like the Odin and Kufis and Buford type of years.
Big one for the Buckeyes tomorrow against West Virginia. If you look at the records, these teams are in pretty similar spots. They've got a common opponent in Pitt. Of course, Ohio State lost to Pitt by a point. On the other side, West Virginia beat them by 22. So what do we think about the matchup tomorrow and how these teams stack up?
Well, it sounds like then it's probably a 23-point win for West Virginia based on the transitive property there. But, you know, it's hard to say right now because, like, you're still at that part of the schedule where most of your games have been against bye games against mid-major teams, low-major teams, and you're trying to figure out, like, what's real and what's not. And what we've seen is, I mean, a Pitt win aside, like West Virginia hasn't played maybe quite the high-level competition that Ohio State has played in some of its games, but Ohio State hasn't played a ton of high-major competition yet. And the games that they have played against comparable skill set teams have all been close. I mean, the 8-point loss to Illinois the other night is the biggest point margin in any of those games against the high-major teams. So we don't really truly know a ton, I think, about how good either of these teams will be. But I think, like, when you came into the season, you project Ohio State as an NCAA tournament team based on the roster and based on, kind of the trajectory of where things are. And I don't know that anyone was really saying that about West Virginia coming in. So I think on paper, and I think that just based on, what we've seen so far, you presume Ohio State has the upper hand in a game like this. It is a neutral court game, and West Virginia fans, as we've seen before when they played this game in Cleveland, they travel. It's not going to be 90-10 Ohio State fans up there in Cleveland tomorrow. It's going to be a little bit closer than that. So I'm really interested, like, what does Ohio State look like? How do they match up with the Mountaineers? And, are they able to move on from that Illinois loss? Like, there's – there's a lot we're going to learn about this team tomorrow night.
We'll get you out of here on this one. I do want to lock in just quickly on our last minute here on John Mobley Jr., right? Comes in, an exciting guy, right, with his shooting ability and all those things. And we saw that last year for sure. But now turning the page, Adam, do you feel like his offensive game is becoming more well-rounded?
I mean, they're trying to get it there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been that to this point of the season, and that's partially because he's been hurt. You know, and I think if he doesn't roll his ankle in that Pitt game in the first half, like, they win that game. And that is what it is. But, you know, he hasn't shot the ball since then very well. I think he's 2 of 8 from the free throw line since then, which is a shocking number for a player as talented and as good of a shooter as Mobley is. So I think there's strong, high-level belief that, like, he's going to figure it out and it's going to stabilize for him. Because, yes, he is much more of a playmaker than what we saw last year. That's enabling them to play Bruce Thornton off the ball some more, which has really opened up some things for Thornton. They trust his playmaking, his decision-making. It just hasn't quite come together yet for him this season. I think he's, as you see with shooters sometimes, I think he's a little bit in his head at the moment, and I think the injury has definitely had an impact on him. But Diebler said today he's getting healthier, so we'll see what he looks like tomorrow.
It's good to hear. He's the great Adam Jardy. Does an awesome job covering Ohio State men's basketball over at the Columbus Dispatch. Make sure you go follow him on X at Adam Jardy. Adam, as always, appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Well, thanks for the kind words, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. Adam joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the business of finding a new vehicle, listen closely, because I want to direct you to McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion, where they're going to treat you like family as soon as you walk through the door. They'll have patience with you. They're going to have a plan for you based off your finances to direct you down a path to where you're going to get a cool new vehicle the way that I did. Check out their website. There's over 200 new vehicles on their website right now for you to look at. And up at the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion, they believe in nothing but transparency with every car deal that they do. They have a 2026 Silverado 1500. You can lease it for $339 a month for 36 months and $1,000 due at signing, or finance and save up to $14,000 off MSRP. Rules and restrictions apply. Again, take it from me. The team up at McDaniel GM Superstore is awesome, and they're ready to take care of you. So get on up there and see them today. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Coming up next, we'll hit the finish line of the show, and week next, we'll tell the truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Toyota.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Station.
I have a special announcement. Common Man and Timmy is the most listened to radio show in the state of Ohio. Coming in at number 2, Common Sense. You should listen anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, rhyme time. Take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up, and tell the truth today, my man?
So if Phillip Rivers gets the start on Sunday against Seattle, will he throw a touchdown?
Will he throw a touchdown? You got me thinking earlier, DT, about kind of the garbage time.
Oh, will they play him in garbage time, though? That is the thing.
Another good question. We don't know how healthy Riley Leonard is. Kind of, I happen to think, I was telling AR earlier this week, that even if Riley Leonard was 100%, I still think they make this move. I think there's more comfort in Shane Steichen's mind to roll with Phillip Rivers to potentially save the season over Riley Leonard. And did you guys see the Sam Ehlinger story that came out? Former Texas quarterback who I believe is with the Denver Broncos. I think he was initially drafted by Indy out of college.
Yeah.
They apparently made a call over either to his agent, to Denver, or him, however that works, and said, we want to bring you back to Indy. And he said, nah, I'm good. I'm staying in Denver. And so that was eye-opening to me, maybe kind of speaks to maybe the relationship and where things ended. But that was a part of, that was kind of an underlying story of this week, is that they had a quarterback tell them no. And so maybe that's the real reason why they went with Phillip Rivers. I'll say yes, though. I think we'll toss one.
Let me restart here. I still think Jonathan Taylor, I like Jonathan Taylor's prospects. I don't think there's really too much of a difference because the Colts have a nice offensive line. He's a good running back, so I wouldn't be scared of Jonathan Taylor. The quarterback situation, I will say Phillip Rivers does throw a touchdown, and I think it will go to a tight end.
Ooh, so Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I like that.
Love
just
that
a nice security blanket.
Well.
If they get into the red zone, I could see it, like a nice 3rd and 4 short pass to the tight end.
You're on to something there, because AR has Tyler Warren on his fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
As do I, in one of my leagues.
And he wants that to happen. And I brought up to the fellas, DT, I said, it's a good call. Rivers, Antonio Gates, the chemistry he had with the tight end back in the day. Like, there we go. I like that.
If they can keep this guy upright, it's going to be okay. But this Seahawks defense is for real.
Yeah, ain't nothing to play with.
You traded for a 40-year-old quarterback. What are you waiting for him to develop?
That's what AR was talking about, Flacco. It's amazing. What do you got next?
I just felt like it fit that question.
That was a good call, man.
We tap danced around it earlier. So now let's tell the truth. How many teams would actually want Joe Burrow right now?
Okay. So
if the Bengals went calling.
If you missed it, Kurt Warner came out and said that he thinks the number would be about 28. That would seriously consider. Heck, let me even play it for you. Hold on. So here's what Kurt Warner said earlier, and this got us thinking and led to Rhyme Time's Tell the Truth question.
I think Brock's really good, but I also do believe Joe's better than Brock is and brings more to the table. And so I think, you know, I mean, if that were the case, you probably have 28 teams in the league that say Joe Burrow would be an upgrade at the quarterback spot, not a knock on any of these other guys that are really good quarterbacks in this league. It's just Joe's one of the special ones.
So we've got 32 of these teams in the league. He thinks 28 is the number of teams that would sit down and maybe not say no doubt we need him, but would have maybe be torn on the decision. Do you agree with that number?
Okay, so I think it could be one. So what he's looking at here is essentially what? The Ravens, the Bills,
the Chiefs,
and maybe like the Eagles or the Rams.
I think the Eagles would do it right now.
I think the Eagles would. I think the Rams might do it because long term, that's going to make you better.
For sure.
I think the Patriots could say no, though. Like a team like the Patriots, they really like Drake May.
I think
they
everyone really in the AFC South says yes.
Yeah, I was very quickly going down the list there and just counting the teams that would say no potentially. Yeah. But I think you're going to see. I think the teams might surprise you. I could see it being right around 28, but I think those teams might surprise you.
Do you agree with what Rhyme Time just said? He said everybody in the AFC South would say give us Burrow over our guy.
So let me think here.
Houston with CJ?
Yes.
The Colts are absolutely saying yes.
Jags
are saying yes. And Tennessee, after 1 year
of Cam Ward. Yeah, every team in the AFC South is saying
yes. We're at that point with CJ,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Here's a question. Do you think every team in the NFC North would say yes? Because there are some good quarterbacks in that division.
Oh. Now I'm just picturing Joe Burrow with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's an upgrade over everybody.
He's an upgrade over everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as somebody, I'm a Bears fan. I really like Caleb Williams and his skill set and what he brings, but you can't say no to Joe Burrow.
Right. Because I think that's the conversation we were having if we were running a team.
Yeah.
Is he an upgrade over our guy? You look around that division, I think, the three of the four feel pretty good about where the future is with their quarterback position. Packers, Lions, and the Bears, Vikings in a dicey spot right now. But I think that's the question is, we can upgrade. That's it. And to your point, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, New England, those teams, probably those three for sure, being Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore, like, nah, we're good. But everybody else, you're talking about a top five quarterback knocking on your door.
The NFC East is another intriguing question,
I was thinking NFC South. I think all of them in the NFC South say yes, too.
They do.
Yeah.
I agree with
that. NFC East, you're looking at, okay, Jackson Dart's the future. Jaden Daniels is the future. Dak is good this year. And then you've got Jalen Hurts, who's a Super Bowl champion.
Everybody's saying yes. Yeah. Everybody's saying, give me Joe Seisty. Give me Joe Burrow.
What's Denver doing with Bo Nix?
You're saying yes. Give me Joe Burrow.
Especially Sean Payton. He's licking his chops to get.
It's just one of those things. It's all these guys that, like, Drake May is the one because he's in the MVP conversation this year. But everybody else, all those rookie quarterbacks from last year, look like they are going to be good, but it's Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Kurt Warner's probably right.
Yeah, probably right.
Hey, I'll try anything once.
Here he is. That man you just heard, he'll be back on Monday. That was Tell the Truth for today. DT, Dylan, appreciate you filling in for AR as always, man.
Of course.
Fun chopping it up with you. Rhyme Time, appreciate your time all week.
It was fun.
Filling in for TLC. Folks, we appreciate you as always. Coming up next, top of the hour, it's Common Man and Timmy. No Timmy, Jen Winters in for Timmy, and it's Go to Jail Friday, and they've all got their tracksuits on, so you know it will be a good time. Hey, stay safe out there. Supposed to get some dicey weather. Take care of yourself. Stay warm. Happy holidays. We'll be back on Monday at 1 o'clock. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
Lights up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.